2015, that's a problem.
That blows one. The other.
Well, you guys are going to look at it.
Yeah.
Do we have a spill pattern with flat? You go back and revisit with the RSW closed and 5K coming out. What's the pattern?
That's table 9, right?
Well, you were going to check to make sure it went low enough, because table 9 didn't go low enough before, if I recall.
And that's actually coming up later in the agenda.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say.
Change form to add those lower spill patterns.
That's where it's at.
That graph.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll be look at that thing later in the agenda.
And I'm not sure, did Ryan Lowry sign on? He was, in case there are any questions about it, he came up with these patterns. So.
I didn't hear Ryan.
He did. Don't have Lisa Lowry.
I didn't hear.
You said in Mississippi for the last couple of days.
Okay.
Hey, this is Russ. And it was 1.3 inches yesterday here in Boise.
Cool.
So it was a fair amount. Wish that was at Lower Granite.
Right.
And does anyone know, I haven't seen count numbers, did going to the flat pattern last night at Granite help out? Did we move fish?
There's 12 sockeye this morning.
Okay.
Which is up from 2 yesterday.
Yeah, up from 2 yesterday. But I have not got counts from 0500 this morning to 0900 since I'm down here, but I'll have them tomorrow. And also tomorrow at the same time, I'll have those numbers, too.
Great. Thanks, Ray.
Hey, Russ, you'll be happy to know that the shad count's doubled.
Oh, boy. We're starting the shad fishery next.
No, I think it was a success overall.
Yeah, it should have been.
At least for adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, so Portland District Action Items, we have the Dalles Split Flow. I am waiting to schedule that meeting until the University of Idaho report is available and Rearsich is back in town.
So can we change the name of that?
Yes, we can change the name. What would you like it?
Like the Dalles Fish Attraction Flow or something else? I mean, it's not like the
adult
powerhouse
flow?
Change at Bonneville.
I know.
Yeah. Right. Adult Flow would be fine.
It is the same principle.
Identical. Exactly. With a
just because it's
incredibly different cost,
instead of powerhouse.
It's a tremendously different
so,
cost.
So, same name.
Why don't you just split your hairs on that one?
Because usually when we talk about split flows, it was Bonneville. And normally it's when you have the same name for two different projects, sometimes we get confused on what project we're talking about.
Oh, so your concern is
TDA versus BON is kind of hard to decide.
Whether it has Bonneville written or not. Yeah, I've been reading through some of the old notes, and I can see where that could be.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is now the Dalles Adult Flows.
The Dalles what?
Adult. All right, the V Branch North Entrance Gate Repair. Hausman will write up an MOC.
I should have that to you this afternoon. They're planning on taking out July 27th, coinciding with the ROV inspection.
And then the T11 and T12 outages?
Same schedule. Yeah.
Do you recall what date that starts?
Nope.
Okay.
Beginning of September, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was in August, but okay.
No, those
well, look,
don't start until September.
The schedule.
Got it.
It was after spill.
Okay.
Completed. Okay, the bond split flows. I see that there was something submitted early this morning.
Yeah, I've got a memo, just 10 copies for folks who want one.
These won't all be here.
As long as the water gets downstream, my fish come out.
So, I'll let it go around.
Okay.
Did you send it out?
It just came out this morning.
Jeez.
I was on a Willamette call this morning.
I can't even talk.
Say, how come I'm not in my glass box here on my pedestal?
Okay. I just took a shot at revising the language and basically, or with Ben's help, I took a shot at revising the language, and I was kind of thinking about this on the way in today and thought, you know, The important thing, I think, is that the project have the flexibility to adjust powerhouse flows if they see problems in the ladder real time. So instead of coming up with some trigger to do this, what I've basically simplified it to say just if they see an issue, then more than what it says now, earlier what it said was two units would be shifted from powerhouse two, which is priority, to powerhouse one. What I've changed to do is two units or more, and then in the fine print there it says that they, if they see issues at the discretion of the project, if they see issues in the ladders, Flush and Shore most likely, they have the discretion to move up to half of the powerhouse flow to powerhouse one. So evens it out.
What time frame did you put on here?
No time frame. Well, this is for after. It's automatically, based on where it's at in the language, after spill stops. So it would be September, basically September.
Is it still at the 25,000 trigger?
That's still in there. Everything's in there as it was before. I just added the fact that if these guys see something that they don't like in the ladder, they have the discretion to move more flow. And I tried to, keep the point in there that powerhouse two is still a priority powerhouse. That's because we want as much flow as possible through one tail race to give the best tail race egress conditions. But we realize that we may need the, adults have priority over juveniles.
So this is only for the Ball Chinook. It's not for the Sockeye. It's not for the
not that time of year.
So you're just going for falls.
This one is just for that. This is the genesis of this problem was the September issue. So
right,
that's
right.
We were trying to deal with. No, I haven't dealt with that.
But now we need to. Our numbers are up. And
they
so
are.
They're over 25,000 on the times.
Too. Yep.
You need a copy?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's over 30,000 prior to August 31st.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, that is a call. We need to talk about it. So it wasn't automatic. So I wasn't proposing to change that language. That wasn't the purpose of this exercise.
Okay.
If you want to do that, that's another shot. So what I'd like to, the other point of that is that I'd like to see this approved, with the committee or with the team's comments. I'd like to see this approved for this year, so we're ready this year rather than letting this go till 16.
I noticed you said salmon counts. So if you have a bunch of shad plugging up the ladder, is that?
Usually don't in September. So this is really a September issue. So it's really a false Chinook issue. Steelhead, not going to be a problem this year. We're about half of average right now at Bonneville. They're picking up, but it's not looking good. Otherwise, some Chinook and sockeye are looking real good.
So do you want approval?
Other than the fact that they're not getting past the Canary Dam.
Can we carry this over till August and plan on approving it in August?
That would be great.
Okay. That way Lisa can give it its proper number.
Do you have the electronic version?
Yes, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
So, Gary, to kind of summarize, the intent of this is to redistribute flows in such a way that fish spread out more amongst the ladder.
Yeah, we're seeing a problem. So,
in a couple of years.
Trying not to do that if we don't have to, because I think it's worse for juveniles, but adults have priority in September, so.
So do we follow the unit priority for the first powerhouse
when
you flip over there?
Yeah, that's what the original language said, so we'll stick with that. It'd be 1 and 10, and then.
And then this mid-range thing is not in place anymore?
I don't really understand that part of it. I was looking at that. I didn't change it. But
we should strike that part. The 2-1, 2-1.
Actually, neither one of those really made a whole lot of sense to me. But
yeah.
I don't know what the genesis of that was. I can't remember. Too old.
These are all gone now.
Yeah.
So
okay.
So some things could be changed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben. I look at that, but that just doesn't make sense.
There must have been some reason.
Ben, do you see any issue with that?
No.
I will. Forward,
you
can hand it to
I don't feel like I'm up to speed on what the reason is either, so it must have been something.
It was that language has been in there for a long time, and it's just never been looked at since we have changed the way that we now operate powerhouse.
Higher priority in modifying this specific problem.
It also goes back to the question of what season this applies to.
Yeah, this is September.
If you did it in May and June on the 30,000 trigger, right, then it would be applicable. Right. But if it's only the September component of it, this isn't applicable.
Right.
And so it doesn't, Eric, what happened?
So it doesn't really need to live in this piece because it's elsewhere?
Okay. Right. The bond so
really
ops should have corrected
it. That applies to juveniles at another time of the year.
Correct. That's why it was, it's there, sort of. I mean,
we
worked on other parts of the document.
Water. Years earlier, it seemed to be more applicable than it does now.
It does now. So you could strike those.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, there's like downside, Gary, to this operation and redistributing adults around, delay?
No, it's the downside is redistributing flow from the priority powerhouse. You worsen the tail race conditions in both powerhouses, and as you put more flow to the first powerhouse, you're going to entice more fish to go there into a worse tail race condition. So just more flow, if we could concentrate the flow for juveniles, that's better. But this is a time of year when we prioritize adult passage over juvenile passage. And depending on the temperature, spike minnow activity might be kind of low anyway. It just depends on, they really drop off in the 70 degree temperature range. So their activity, feeding activity does. So there's a downside. But that's why I said, keeping in mind that we have a priority powerhouse, shift as little as you have to, but if you have a problem, you definitely want to put adults first.
And you're talking about only above flows above 120.
Well, yeah, that language is in there too, and
I'd almost strike that.
That one's another one.
I would take that one out too, because it's, if you want the project to have discretion to try it, then let them try it. I mean, if they're seeing a problem at 110.
Starting to move away from any protection for juveniles that might be present. That's concerning. I understand the priority.
You still have the screens in. You still have the
corn collector. Corn collector is still operating.
It's just the tail race. Talk about this tail race condition about other portions of the year coming up with other reasons, other changes that might be occurring in our list here. So, I mean, we don't want to go full tilt 100%. One against the other.
Yeah.
I think the intent of that over 120 is just acknowledge that you've got spill.
Well, that's earlier in the season.
Correct.
It's 795. Right. It didn't even make sense to me when I started.
Yeah, but all three of these points really are about that issue.
They're earlier.
Deal with tail race egress.
But that's in, like it's that. In May and June, not in September.
I realize that primarily then, but let's not lose focus on making sure that we be a little more distributed on protecting both juvenile and adults when they need it. That's all I'm saying. But I don't have a full and clear recognition of what that would mean under the current conditions. 120K, I mean.
Well,
it's 16 each powerhouse.
You've got a 20 or 30 powerhouse men.
No, in September, it would be 16 each powerhouse.
I'll go back to the before September
okay.
1, it's a 30-man powerhouse, and then you've got a spill of who knows what, you know, 95, 75 gas cap.
Whatever the rest of the river.
Pick your day. Yeah, so that's where I think the 120 kind of came out of that. But it doesn't really apply after September 1, so that's where it needs to be clarified maybe a little bit. But I wasn't trying to change all the other things. I was trying to address the need for the higher passage.
Your objective is the flexibility of the project to do what they think is necessary.
Right. At that time of the year for that purpose. Which I think is appropriate because it's where you've got a lot of steelhead, you've got a lot of adult false chinook, and you're trying to protect them. And at that time of the year, we pulled our protections off as juvenile for the most part. Juvenile passage is over. I mean, I know there's still some, and maybe this year there's more than usual if temperatures drop quickly, but it's a balance. So we still have the slips, we still have the corner collector running, still the JPS running.
Right.
So just to clarify
conditions and a reason.
So yeah, if you have concerns about the other deletions, let's at least address what I've laid out.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with that.
I
just want to make sure that we aren't
right. The other ones, I all that's got right up that change for.
just did.
Oops.
So when there's 30,000 fish a day at this time of year, I take it there's
25 there
in the ladder.
There can be.
That's what. Going on.
Yeah, that's what
there's thought to be. It's not for sure. It's not for sure. But by splitting powerhouses, there was no impact to the hydro system, and so going along with this at this low of a threshold is fine. You've got multiple channels there. You've got all kinds of different
levers.
Yeah,
a lot going on in bottle. Why are you shoving 30,000 fish
through one ladder?
Yeah. Make a lot of sense. So.
And we're going to use 18. So. And we won't have unit 18. So.
Yeah. We will and we won't. Yeah. Wait. Is it back off?
The counters appreciate it.
And we'll see. Yeah, yesterday.
One will, one won't.
One will, one won't. Yeah.
In September.
Just a temporary. It could be permanent.
It's not 11.
It could be another unit 11 if we don't. All right, so moving on. Marisich is gone, but he did send the report out to the task group.
Is he in Thailand or something like that?
He was in Japan. He's back in the States now.
Revoke his passport and don't let him back in.
He's already come back in to the States.
Oh, is he back?
Yes.
What's he doing?
Fishing.
Apparently he thought he needed some time to recover from vacation before coming back to work.
Too much sake on the trip back.
Don't worry. I said, you got back on the 7th. F-com's not till the 9th. You
did totally show up. We'll sleep for a couple days. And get up.
Give me a cell phone. I'll call.
So if you have any comments on that after-action report, go ahead and send those to John.
We have done so.
Yes, you have. All right. Walla Walla updates.
Walla Walla updates. Upcoming maintenance, construction, research activities. NWW provided a calendar of outages updated to the agenda. Did we all see it?
It's posted to the website.
It's posted to the website. It's there and present in color if you need it. It's on the web page. You got black and white sheet of those.
Yeah. Were there any
shades of gray? I don't think there really is, Eric. If it changes, talked about the rental pumps are in place, you know, and like by Lower Granite, for example, rental pumps are in place for next 3 months and in operation.
And you're still unit one coming out December-ish.
Say that. The capital red chart has not changed at all until December next year. Unit 1 to return at Grant in October, let's hope, next year. Bypass outfall, it's working on, starting in, April 2016? That's a big point.
Yeah.
Concrete mining constantly going on right now from
the bridge crane update.
May all the way until December. A quiet period until April next year.
So that's ongoing currently?
Yeah, it's ongoing currently. Pier 22. We'll start.
That's the one by the count station.
Yeah, that's the one by the count station. A lovely one.
This related to the joint?
The fishing pier?
Well, fishing pier, yes. Over the fish line. Primary bypass outfall. In water work period, or it looks like that's going on in December 2016.
Isn't there bridge crane work going on at Granite too?
Bridge crane work. Mm-hmm. I have that written down someplace.
I didn't see it on this chart here.
I don't see it.
Well, in Granite. That was the critical piece to getting the solid stand schedule. So
hence
that's why
the reason
asking.
I asked the question.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess that's right. Bridge crane. Mm-hmm.
I want to add that.
Yeah. I want to add that on there, okay.
You might want to put a title on the whole document.
What, bridge crane?
No, just the entire document.
Construction updates?
Is that something.
It says construction updates right there.
Make it a bigger title. Or something.
Okay.
That'll be specific to Lower Grand.
Well, there's three of them.
There's
Grand Low and Dworshak.
Think of a construction update.
Dworshak on there, too.
We have a different label for all three.
Yeah. We got two.
Or it's a package deal.
Oh, the guests are going to be done until August.
Okay, let's see.
The reason all three are on there is because the bridge crane was affecting when the contract got done to get the other ones done. So,
is there any idea on what the status of that is?
The bridge crane?
That's.
Ann was tracking that one.
Dan's tracking that one. Okay.
Because before they could do unit one, bridge crane had to be done. So.
Right. That's correct, Amanda.
And no one knows but Dan.
She holds all the secrets.
She held the secrets.
She's the keeper of the crypt.
LOMO. Yeah, there's LOMO on there, return to capital. It looks like it's moved down to November 2015. It should be done about a year later, by December. Cavitation repairs on unit 2 at LOMO. Looks like that's going to happen also January on next year. And Dorshak hasn't changed. Unit 3 overhaul. We're still looking at August next year, so that's a big thing. Oh, the gassers at the Dorshak hatchery. The gassers coming on, let's say. Oh, it should be starting on that thing.
Hopefully the degassers.
Degassers, yeah. Gassers. Degassers. Ungassers. Yes.
So, didn't a new degasser just go online recently?
Half of them.
Partial.
There's two halves. This is a completion of the second half.
All right, so moving on to the McNary Log Bronc.
Log Bronc. What did Ann tell you?
No, Ann told me there's no change. It hasn't arrived yet. But fortunately, we're not having a whole lot of debris this year. So
the Navy can't deliver, huh?
What's the margin?
The Bronc, Log Bronc. Okay, yeah, it's on its way.
It's been on its way since last month.
Yeah, checks in the mail.
All right. Rental pump?
Rental pumps. Installed.
Lower granite.
I'm going.
Lower granite, and they're operating.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for getting it done early.
Yes, unfortunately.
Just in time. Yes. Barely in time, yes.
Any indication on, if it's doing anything to the temperature in the lab?
If you looked at the charts that they sent out a couple weeks ago, you see where they came on, and then you saw a sudden drop. So, and I don't think that was corresponding to Peter Dorshak too. So, yeah. Don't do that to me. Yeah. It's too early.
So, a couple of weeks ago, sent out by
that temperature group, and
yeah,
who was it from your group was sending those weekly updates of the ladder temperatures?
It's going to be Chaz or who sent it out.
It was the last week of June that they came up.
Yeah, they came on.
Because he shows when the rental pumps came on, and he has it.
26 kilos on my side. Sorry,
yeah.
26. Okay, well, this is for the first three.
Okay. Yeah, first few days.
How much water do they move?
50. Well, I know the ladder itself is 75.
But there's three pumps there. It's about 50, if I remember correctly. It's still right around that area there.
CFS.
I think recently, given the changes that we had on operations
last night.
Yeah.
Shad looked good.
Well, we moved more shad. Fish obviously the numbers were there.
Yeah.
But it's this telling us.
I don't have recent temperatures other than those.
Maybe we'll send an email. If you think about ask Ann for tomorrow's conference call, if she could have that stuff sent out, that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, at the same time. Exactly. Well, we should be getting, hopefully we'll be getting temperatures tomorrow too.
Yep.
That would be good.
Yeah, we haven't pulled, this is Chris Penny. We haven't pulled any temperatures. We've just looked at the strings and what's in the terries and stuff. And John Heisterman came over and said, that we're still getting, above 68 in the terries. Although the dissolved gas went down from 115 to 105, but the temperature is still, we're getting around 68, 70. So what he's proposing is to go ahead and move to the next, bring unit one on, for the temperature part of it, to save the Dorshak and all that stuff. He'd just soon do that right now than not. And this is the overall. I just looked at the 24-hour information. Chad moved at the same time that the Sockeye moved and the Chinook moved. They all had a pulse about 3 o'clock. The operation went in at 1 o'clock. We had a pulse of all those at 3 o'clock. At night, 3 to 4, 5, so about 5 o'clock, Chinook went up 1720 feet per hour or whatever. Chad increased, and then at night, the Shad went back down the ladder. A couple of Chinook went back down the ladder, and we didn't have any Sockeye passage at night. The two bursts of 4 per hour for Sockeye was at 3 o'clock, the beginning of the Shad, and at 7 o'clock at night, which was a couple hours after the Shad burst. So you still got shad moving both ways in the ladder, but you did pass quite a bit of them through during the daytime. And so you had a pulse of both sockeye and of chinook anyway. So that's kind of what nighttime, what the 24 hours gives us today. So we'll see what tomorrow says.
So Chris, are you seeing any steelhead at all?
Real low.
No, I haven't looked, but we haven't seen yesterday. We've seen a few steelheads showing up.
Yeah,
it went from. I could take a quick look, but
Chris, I looked at it. It went from I think five to. It went up a few fish, but it was like only a few fish anyway. And actually, I think the clip numbers actually dropped from like 2 to 1 or something.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, they wander a bit more and will hold over a little bit more, but I don't think there's that many numbers of steelhead.
There isn't, and they're just doing things differently than everybody else. They're smarter.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing some lag time type looks, you know, and seeing that, you know, when we get a burst at Lomo and they took, you know, slowly come through a couple days at Goose and then see if that shows up Grand a couple days later. And so, you know, having 12 at Granite is kind of like a 2 day lag of the 14 at Goose or something. But we should get some of those piled ups moving through this next night or something, hopefully. But our hydrologist, because temperature is starting to say that, you know, we should probably move on to that, you know, one operation, you know, for the temperature, operating Dorshak as well as part of the fish. But we are getting some attraction, at least, into the ladder. So,
So how do we propose moving forward on unit one?
The other question I had is, Chris, did you see, are the counters seeing much fish going up and back, or are they just pretty much all still moving forward?
Well, you know, looking at the 24-hour data off of the Portland side, I just looked at it, and the numbers are there. There, all the sockeye moved up in those two-hour increments before and after the shad, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. We had a burst of four sockeye at 3 o'clock and four sockeye at 7 o'clock. The hours in between when the shad were moving, we had one sockeye each hour. No sockeye at night, and then we had shad going up during the day and quite a bit of shad coming back down like at 9 to 10 o'clock at night past the count window, and then they kind of passed up all night. The chinook, we had one fish per hour kind of moving back down throughout the night.
No, thanks.
So there's a little bit of still holding delay moving back and forth.
It makes a difference.
But it seems like, you know, we got some shad moving in there now. It's kind of, you know,
not surprised.
Maybe interfering with some of the sockeye, but
I don't.
No,
time's a waste.
I would say, we're going to have a conference call tomorrow.
Time's a waste.
We'll have the call tomorrow. We can discuss it then.
Really. Tomorrow.
We'll have more. Okay. And that's what we plan on doing. So
let's
wait until tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're going to be looking, for just so you guys can start thinking, about probably a day-night operation. Do unit one daytime, go back to unit two at night and spill what you can, just try to even things out as best you can. That's something to think about.
I don't think Tom the Corps wants to do that.
No, the temperature.
With unit one. I hear it's a 24-hour operation.
It's basically unit one then, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the past, unit one has been the one that brings the cold water to the corner and brings it up near the ladder.
So is this the issue of the unit not being able to handle start, stop.
No, it's fixed blade at 17.
Yeah, we might lose it all together.
Well, you're taking it down in December anyway.
Starting and stopping.
You're taking it out in December anyway, so.
You're not going to use it between now and then, unless you know.
I mean, this, you're going to be using it for this next month.
Yeah, I don't want to risk it losing it, because it might be our final ace in the hole.
Maybe in August.
I would say, if you're going to do that, then I'd do a test of it. We'll talk tomorrow. But if we start, it's going to be a long-term operation, we're going to be looking for something else.
Well, as I said yesterday, NOAA is definitely supporting going to this if we don't get passage.
We think it's going to be something we want to test, but I'm not ready to throw all the juveniles out in the bathwater since we're going to basically make spill down to a reduction of spill by 50%. Not ideal. That's going to have to be done with some trepidation.
Down to 50%?
I guess, Tom, could you elaborate on that? Because so it sounds like we're
okay, you're spilling 12 now, and you're going to spill only 6 if we go to unit 1. 50% reduction. That's not, you're going to set up, Terry's patterns are not going to be good for juvies.
Right.
We know the current outfall is horrible for subs, so any subs coming down there are going to get a pretty rough shaped ride. Sure. So you, if we're going to do this operation, know there's, this isn't a freebie. There's going to be an impact by doing this. And you're going to have to take, you're going to take the risk to the juveniles. If we think we're at that point, then we do it. But it's, this isn't something
I guess I'm just elaborating on prioritization over percent of the run. I mean, it's my understanding that, well, how would you describe percent passage of subs at Granite?
Okay, well, let's think about this. The reason we're doing this is for sockeye, right? What's the temperature at Whitebird Salmon right now? About 78, 80 degrees. Those sockeye are not going to go in that system. So unless you're going to set up a trapping operation, a trap and haul of the sockeye, then just getting the sockeye past Granite really is not a success. All you're going to do is just kill them up in another system. So until you're ready to do a major trap and haul with this, so first you got to show you can get sockeye to the trap, and that works. So until we do that, I'm not ready to basically write off all the juvenile benefits.
I just can't get past, though. I mean, again, could you highlight? I mean,
what do you mean highlighted?
The run would you suggest to pass?
So if you don't care about tails, and also if you look at the historic run of sub-yearlings, is classically this July-August period, and the reason you got to think tails. Why is it a tail? Because we now release how many millions of hatchery fish a year. So the natural historical run that is placed is now overshadowed by the hatchery run. So it's quote-unquote the tails, but historically speaking, this is the normal run. This is the normal time period for the run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so pretty early.
So there's going to be a conference call on this tomorrow. Is that right? Excellent. Moving on.
I think the tails are really, really important here. Yeah. But I see this as a very serious emergency.
Right.
Those fish that have already passed Granite may never this year get up to Redfish Lake because of the water temperatures and the sand and the snail. Mm-hmm. They may be stranded there at Lewiston in some cool water for the rest of the summer. So I think it's very, very within all of our job descriptions to try to save some of this run of sockeye. And it may be the only way we're going to do that is by trapping them at Granite.
Well,
and let me finish.
No.
Under poor conditions, we don't like to trap at this. But possibly if we could get our hands on 100 and get them to a hatchery up there and use those for broodstock, we could save this whole year's run.
Well, if you're not concerned about it.
And all the other ones I see as a total jeopardy, whether they pass Granite or not, because they've got such a thermal block set up upstream.
Yes, they're right.
So,
if you're not concerned,
Tom, you're right. Let's first get passage going, get those sockeye in that ladder. First prove we can do that at Granite. But we may have to go to this extent of operating Unit 1 to show that.
That may be, but there's
I'm glad you agree with that.
There is, and we'll talk about this, but I'm saying it's not a freebie. You've got to know this going in, that there's going to be an
impact. It's a tough decision.
Log brook? Wasn't there
I love spill for juveniles as much or more than anybody else.
I know. I'm just saying you could also trap it on Ice Harbor.
This is a very serious emergency.
Trap it on Ice Harbor.
Can we do both?
That's what I'm suggesting. You probably do both. And we'll talk about this ad nauseum tomorrow.
Ad nauseum.
Tomorrow about it. It'll be awesome.
Okay.
So just one question, point of clarification. So
let's talk about the sunshine.
Now the RFW is off. We're still spilling about 12 currently.
Yes.
All that to do.
Because we're still using
units. So if we go to Unit 1, it'll be to 6, but then is the RSW still off?
Yes. RSW can only, when the RSW is on, you're spilling
hot water.
So it's automatic.
About 8.
But you get hot water too.
So essentially, we're going to the first step of the power emergency.
Kind of like that, yeah.
I don't think it's a power emergency.
I'd say it's a fish emergency.
He's just saying that with Noah's.
Doesn't have anything to do with power.
I think it's noteworthy.
No, it doesn't. I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying we're going to the exact pattern that's being described.
It's an emergency operation.
If we were to go to that.
What is
it? Okay. Whether it is or not is what I'm trying to say.
Sunshades, what
to that end.
Yeah, so we're not coming to a resolution here, so we're going to wrap it up and move on.
What are we
going
to do with sunshades?
Yes, we are. No, I am.
100%.
I have decided.
We can't do that.
Okay,
but there is one more comment that needs to be made, and that's the water temperature.
We're choosing which one we're going to try to change the percentage on from the
25 or 50 to 100%. We're just trying to balance. I think we should have this conversation. We should have all of this detail, and we need it to make a good decision. And if we can't talk about it now, how are we going to do it tomorrow or the day after? I mean,
well, do you have everybody here that can make a decision? Because you don't have Ann, you don't have all the...
It's not going to get resolved here.
So we're moving it to tomorrow.
It's very important that everybody here understands the situation. If I have it wrong, I want to hear it. If I have the situation wrong, I want to hear it.
I just think we all need to include all of the components, not just the ones that we feel currently are in our own pocket. I mean, we need to know all of it. Not just what we think.
Tomorrow. Well, it, maybe, so, Eric, wherever we can get our hands on adults up in that, up there, we ought to go for it right now and get them to hatcheries.
Sorry.
Because they're not going to survive.
Knowing that, Russ, Paul, your information that we have.
Do you have a projector that they could borrow?
I don't think we really have that dialogue yet.
We'll carry on this conversation.
I'm just going to give this to you now. Congratulations for being the chief. You might need it sooner rather than later.
It's starting to happen, but I don't think we're all talking about it. It doesn't sound like everyone's...
Oh, people want to talk about something else.
No, keep going.
Shut the hell up.
Yep, add it. Go for it.
Tom, I want you to hear this. Tom, can you come back?
He has to go get a projector for the next...
I totally get, Joe, I appreciate your comment regarding the math, the delta. I think we're all talking about the delta still. I think we all track it's a 5K swap. Got it. I think we all understand that. I just think it's important to add, when you look at the temperature stream data, you're basically, by not using that water, there's about a 10-degree difference. So you're looking at, when you're spilling in the top, when you look at the thermo, when we can talk more about this tomorrow.
And we talked about this today,
and that's fine, but we're all talking about the scale delta, but I think we're all trying to get after cool water. And
we asked the guy yesterday about that. I said, if we're not using the RSW, that stuff, does it make a difference? He said he didn't think it made a difference temperature-wise. Right. He didn't think it made a temperature. I would support this on the wall guys.
Sure.
For the question.
Okay, sans that, and I know you're a smart guy. Answer this question. Wouldn't you argue, taking water from 20 meters is where the pipe is coming to run unit one, you're getting water at 68 degrees, okay? You go down 20 meters, you look at it, it's 68 degrees. When you pull it from the top, it's 78. Okay, I'm not a hydraulic engineer here, but I can look at a string and I can see there's a 10-degree difference in water at the top versus 20 meters down where it drafts for the generator, okay? We're talking about not acquiring a 10-degree reduction in temperature.
So you're saying you think you're going to see a temperature benefit by using unit one and reducing spill?
Yeah.
I'm saying where the water comes from. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then that's the point. So the question is, but we don't know if that what the problem is. Is it hydraulic or is it thermal that's causing the delay of the pitch?
I hear you.
We're trying to thermal. We're trying to basically kind of accommodation right now. The next question would be is, do we want to take the next step as unit one? That's what we'll discuss tomorrow. And I'm trying to get, so I think we discuss it tomorrow, don't we think? The question is,
no, we should discuss it now.
We can't do it again, so it's awesome, because we don't discuss this four times.
We'll just take the audio for tomorrow. Good, keep going.
But it's good to talk about now while we're in the room instead of on the phone. That's part of the question. Conference call.
We're changing operations of the core shack, we're changing hydraulics, we're going to have information to see if we saw a response to the adults. The question would be is, by doing this change, are we going to see a significant change from what we're already seeing? And I don't know.
I think that...
And I'm not saying we're not going to do this. I'm just saying go into it knowing you're basically going to take an impact to the juveniles.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I was saying. Yeah. It's not a free lunch.
And right, and I recognize that. We're going to suggest... Not doing anything is an impact. I mean, I feel like I'm not discounting hits on juveniles. I get it. It's not where we're... Right, but why aren't we talking about the hits on adults? I mean, here we are.
Why are we doing this? We wouldn't be doing this. We'd be talking about getting these changes if it wasn't for the adults.
Understood. But
so we're going to do this. I mean, the thing is, we're just saying, like, go in. If what we did isn't making an effect, then yeah, we're going to probably run into one operation. And we'll test that for a couple of weeks, see if that makes an effect. But the point is, if Idaho isn't ready to do trap and haul, then this is all for naught anyways.
Idaho has come to us and they're going to send a letter to us. We're working it through to get a concurrence letter for the trap and haul.
By?
Well, as right now, as I understand it, if the emergency is declared on Monday, then maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday we could start trapping.
Okay.
Okay? And I also, Doug, I'm not sure about this, but I think, too, providing Unit 1's pulling cool water in that vicinity is providing a cool water boil near as close as possible to the entrance to the ladder there. So it's providing cool water in the tail race to that entrance. I think that's a benefit, too.
And I agree
with you on that.
I think the one thing that I would point out in the discussions here, we can change hydraulics, we probably can cool the tail race temperatures and get rid of the eddy, but I'm not sure that we can overcome the temperature differential in the ladder itself to get fish up to the trap. And you look at the experience we've had up there the last couple of years, we haven't done very well. So I still think a temperature issue in the ladder is something we need to pay attention to, and I think that could trump our efforts at Granite.
The worst possible solution is trapping at Ice Harbor, I've heard, but the trap is not ready. It's just a research trap.
Just a research trap. It's.
But if you're only talking about getting 100 fish.
100 fish. I mean, if they do come in time, there's no holding facility.
Yep.
Is it a big deal? I'm not a hatchery person, but is it a big deal and a big cost to do a genetic analysis on each of those fish you trap?
Probably not considering the fish.
It's going to be, no, but I mean for an agency.
Bill, I can answer that.
Russ wants to talk.
Russ, turn
it
up.
Yeah, don't worry about, that is not a concern. We do genetic analysis of every adult sockeye that returns to the Stanley Basin.
Okay.
We do the same with these, and as I've mentioned in the past, that if we go to this trap and haul, we'll do genetics on every fish, because that'll help us determine if it's a natural fish returning to Alturas Lake or Redfish Lake, or what we want to do with it in the program. So we will take genetics off of every adult that we get our hands on, whether they migrate naturally to the basin or we do this emergency trap and haul. But my understanding is that the Ice Harbor trap can only do a few fish at a time, and then you've got to be hand-lifted in nets out of the trap up to a deck.
No, that's all been changed for us.
Okay.
That's a pretty good system. The good thing about that system is that you can selectively trap fish there. You don't have to trap everything and handle it or force everything through any kind of a false weir system.
It's just not going to be able to do a large volume.
It's not a large volume, but you're not talking a large volume anyways.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that, if you can, how do you have someone there all night hand-selecting the sockeye and not the false chinook that are coming up in larger numbers than sockeye?
Well, they would have to be quick on the hand.
They've had to do it in years past. That's what Chris Penny's study when we tagged chinook there to follow them through the system. I mean, they can do it. It's just the problem. It's not the best trap.
I wouldn't want to be in that phone
booth. And it's going to be warmer than Lower Granite trap.
Well, that's the question. Trevor was trying to get a hold of Ken Fawn to ask about what temperatures are there anyways to see how bad it is. And that was a piece of information. Yeah, well, I don't know if Trevor got a hold of him, if they ever talked.
But Ken's on asking.
Yep.
Well, yeah, this is Ken here. I just got the data. We have some temperature probes in the ladder exit there, right where the trap is.
Cool.
So I've looked at the data this morning, and I'll send it to Trevor today. But the temperature got up to 77.5.
Awesome.
Last few days, and then it goes down to about 74, 75.
In the ladder?
Yeah, where the trap is, and inside the ladder.
Ooh. Huh, I wonder why the fish aren't moving.
Why could it possibly be?
Are you guys letting us now?
That's incredible.
Sounds like this is more critical need for this information. It's the wave of the future.
Well, I hate to tell you what we're not seeing between the Dalles and McNary right now in terms of southbound passage.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something going on there, too. We're just not seeing fish show up.
Well, yesterday,
we're starting to see dead fish in the Fort Bay, and they're at this kill of
the yeah, pretty high numbers at Bonneville.
Yeah.
Yep. And we had fish moving into the Deschutes that had it as well.
I don't know about that.
So we had
not going to be a good year.
And just during the Deschutes.
I looked at ladder preferences at Ice Harbor between the north and the south ladder just to determine that, you know, we wouldn't have fish switching ladders during these temperatures here. And we did have some fish switch for a couple days. And it was when we were switching between our 30% spill versus our, you know, our 45K spill, or, you know, whatever it is now, that we have low flows. And when we turned on those spill bays, we had some switching that the greatest proportion of the fish went to the north side instead of the south side where the trap is. So if we hold that operation that keeps them to the south side under these temperatures, that's probably the best way we can trap, but operating a trap anything above 70 degrees at Ice Harbor is kind of is kind of risky.
Yeah. So you'll basically be able to trap for a couple hours in the morning, and that's it.
Barely.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to have to do hard and heavy a couple hours in the morning and shut her down probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's 10 fish.
Maybe holding the process.
The number of fish going by for those couple hours.
Yeah.
Trap at Bonneville.
Trap at Bonneville. Really?
It does.
Astoria. How far down do we got to go?
Bonneville. Sockeye.
Yeah.
At Ice Harbor, we'd also need to find the crew that would be willing and able to do it. We have no research going on there this year or anything, so we don't have a crew to operate that trap either.
Volunteers?
I think the field unit, this might be something where we could step in and help
out. Yep. Really?
It would only be for about a week.
Yeah. I don't see that as a problem, but any additional permitting or whatever, you might want to get going soon if, you know.
I'll go up.
Yeah, we all might just show up there with cooler chests.
I think you get plenty of people to volunteer, push the button.
Yeah.
Just tell them it's either that or go to a conference call.
Okay, well, it's our permitting issue that we have to get rolling on Bryce Harbor.
Put the speaker on.
Let's get the lower granite permit done.
Then
we'll move to the one.
Yeah. Right.
These things.
What the hydrologist?
What
the hydrologist explained to me this morning is what we got with the new operation down there, is that we still got the warm temperatures down to basically the photic zone, basically 15 meters, 45 feet, which is the top end of the deep spill. So deep spill is still going to pull, you know, better, you know, a degree or so cooler water from the surface, but we're still not meeting the 68, 70 degrees criteria in the tail race. And he felt in order to do that, you need this 60 foot plus water from Dvorak, and unit one would be the one that would get you that. So, I mean, that's kind of, John was coming from a temperature in the tail race side of it, you know, knowing that there's some benefit for fish there as well with the attraction, but he was basically coming with the physics of what was happening to meet that temperature in the tail race.
Okay. Yeah, I had the thought too, if we shut the RSW at low mo and just went to a uniform spill, we might be able to cool down a little bit the Fort Bay at Ice Harbor. Maybe help the ladder situation at Ice Harbor. A little bit?
He just said 77 degrees.
Yeah, if you get that 60-foot deep water through Granite and Goose, then you're going to probably get a degree or two at a low mold that you could pass deep to, and how that would come out of Ice Harbor, we may be back to what our original study showed, you know, a degree or so difference. But yeah, I think you're going to eventually have to go somewhat, you know, system-wide once you get the upper projects.
Okay.
operating best you can.
Yeah, I mean, you got to consider you may not be getting a lot of the sockeye up to the Snake River, given the temperature. So what you got now might be
dead.
You better jump on it.
Yep, yep. And that's what's kind of Heisterman's idea is. Like, you, it'd probably be best just to do it now instead of wait. I mean, they're still talking about, you know, over the weekend a cooling trend, but the other thing is, if you wait till the weekend before you do the operation, you know, it's going to be harder to get it through with any people up there at Granite to help out. Basically, we can decide tomorrow and, you know, go teletype and have the operator do it all, but, you know, every time we get to a weekend switch of any operations, we have to, you know, have special considerations or whatever, additional considerations anyway.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Sure.
I think Scott made a really good point, though, about the permitting and trying to go concurrently. If you do want to do Ice Harbor, to put the, you know, if you want that flexibility, you better start working it now while you're doing the granite work as well.
Okay.
So at least you have fish at Ice Harbor. There's no guarantee we have fish at granite. Okay. Yeah, I would think the permit would be pretty similar. Yeah.
You could maybe do them both parallel at the same time.
Okay.
Ice Harbor.
Thank you.
Gary, you stay.
Snake River.
Snake River, yeah.
Paul.
Okay.
Paul's working on it. And Pete has.
We'll hear more tomorrow. Oh, boy.
I might take that back.
David's on tomorrow.
David, are you still there?
No. Yes, I'm here.
Are we seriously in the shake class?
I hope, right.
Oh, yep. We have
your slideshow up on the screen pretty shortly.
It's working.
Fair enough. I'll try to keep this part brief, and we can always defer.
Yes, let's brief, Dave.
Oh, no, I think we should
Okay, go to the first slide.
We're on your title slide, David.
Okay, couldn't tell if you guys are waiting for me.
Yeah.
No, you guys ready to jump into Dawn? On 1 second. Okay, so if we want to talk about the granite sunshades, then I think it's going to probably lead back into the previous conversation, but if we got, Tammy, you have that presentation up.
It's, we're on page one, you go for it.
Okay. Go for it.
Yeah, go to
slide.
Go to slide two.
You have 5 minutes. No.
Slide two.
Yeah, excellent. We go to slide two.
Yeah.
I just want to show pictures here real quick of, there's only 9 slides total. So yeah, go to slide two. That's what the shades look like from the deck view, from the lower deck, from the top view. Go to slide three, that's the what the shades look like on the underside. So you can see essentially there is a lot of airspace. I think that's something that was getting lost in some of the past conversations, that it's not like the sunshades are right a foot above the water level. I just wanted to make sure people realize that between those two slides, where the shades were in relative to the actual water in the ladder.
David, you should have given Chris a lawn chair and a pina colada. Don't give me that.
That's such a tight idea.
Yeah, those are the pictures we don't show, Gary.
Oh, okay.
Who says it wasn't
the
there?
Guy they had to make a loop.
keep in mind there, like where Chris is standing there, water. We're just at that spot, just upstream of where the auxiliary water supply comes in. And the water level is still probably 10 or 15 feet below where Chris is standing there, where I'm taking the picture at, just for folks' reference. So in that top picture and all those pictures, you can see the very kind of the minor gap that you see, like, between each sunshade. shining down the wall there, which is, in my opinion, pretty minor, but nonetheless, you can see the scope of what Elizabeth's concerns were there, as well as with how, if you kind of toggle back and forth in between those two sets, you can see like the upper shades up around the count window and how they're angled differently. And, if you're looking at slide two, there is a fair amount of airspace, obviously, inherently in there, as well as where like the hand railing is they're not fixed to the ground across the board. If you go to slide four, count window, that's what it, I think Elizabeth just took that photo 2 days ago, 3 days ago, this week, I think, with the shad movement through there. That's what it's looking like right now. So if you quickly go to slide five, just lower ladder, slide six is essentially where we added the additional couple on temp loggers, as we were talking about last month. Folks were curious on essentially what the water temps are doing at the lower end of the ladder under the shades and then right at the start of the shades. So that's the green circle is just upstream of the count window right where the sun shades start, and then the lower ladder essentially just upstream of where the AWS input is. So I was trying to stay out of the tail race influence with the loggers. So if you go to slide seven, Tammy, essentially there is the two additional temp loggers that we're in, essentially seeing no difference. There is if you look at the 1 minute data, actual data, there's a tenth or up to about a 0.17 degree difference between the lower and upper ladder. The difference between the two loggers is sitting side by side on my desk. Average difference is about 0.04 with the lower ladder, logger being the higher one. Just the inherent error in those loggers.
That's for the shade in. If you take it out, that's the question.
Yeah. So I'm just going through what's there right now. I would tend to say that difference there is pretty much within the error of the loggers, because there was error just sitting on my desk up to about 0.2 degree difference between the two loggers. So, if you go to slide 8, essentially the same data, I just overlaid the turn pool data that's the next logger up in the ladder, tracking the same way. So I just wanted to give folks that reference. If you go to slide 9, the water temp data is the same three loggers as slide 8, and then I just overlaid, since you put an air logger at the same two lower locations, and that's showing air temperature there. So,
Dave, can you do when the sun shines on the ladder and when it doesn't, what the times are?
Say that again.
He wants to know the sun aspect. When is the sun directly facing the water and the ladders?
I would have to go back and look, but I think we're talking the mid-ladder, like where the count window is, I think is hitting that area. I think about noon to 2 or 3. That's a pretty short window. That's why you see the kind of turquoise air line dropping earlier, because it gets shaded by 2 or 3 o'clock, I think.
Trying to see the passage correlation between when the sun's on it and when we've seen the passage occur, and see if there is something there that we can work around.
Yeah, and then the lower ladder, like down by the exit pool, is, I think, in ambient light through direct light through 5 or 6 o'clock right now. And, it's got direct light on it a couple hours longer and, right now.
Okay.
In talking with Bill and Tom yesterday, Bill would still like to see the sunshades come off, but I think Bill was in agreement to not do anything with the sunshades, at least in the next week or two while we're doing everything else. Tom, and feel free both of you to step in and correct me if I mischaracterize anything you guys were saying yesterday, but Tom would like to see them left in for the time being.
Well, I said first off, I made a request of Steve Hall like 2 weeks ago to take a quick look at this and see what he thought, see if it made a difference.
Yeah, and he's been out. Yeah, I know. I got it. He's out of the office this week through next week, so I haven't. I know Ryan was trying to touch base with him. Ryan and I were looking at some of this together, and Ryan was trying to talk to the hydraulics guys a bit, but haven't gotten much of a feedback either, other than they're kind of in the, conceptually in the same boat that we were in of thinking that with 75 CFS, with how far down the actual water level is expected to see, conceptually see what we are seeing here in terms of not much of an impact at all to temps within the ladder itself.
I didn't think we'd see much. I mean, the question is it a detriment to leave this in? And that's what I'm trying to find. If it's not a detriment, why would we take it out?
So, you know, that,
yeah, and
that's why I was changing the question possibly is, what the lighting changes over time have done, does it make a difference? Do you see those lines in the water? It does it make a difference?
All I know is all spring, we have our conversion rates during the spring when these were all in, we didn't have a problem. So unless the fall...
Your sun angle is different. I mean,
But it's still going to be over the ladder at similar times. So, sort of. I mean, it's just going to shift.
Yeah.
The sun is going to be over this ladder in the spring, just like it is in the summer. It's going to be different times of the day. Now, this spring run, we saw no... Conversion rates have been awesome this year for the spring.
It's cold.
Summer sucks. So... Sure. Do you really think a little shade on the wall, some different lights in the water is causing a problem? I don't know. If we do, then take them out. I don't think it does. And I'm just, I would say,
just don't keep them moving.
One thing let me just add here real quick before we get into more of this dialogue is the original reason we put these... The original reason we put these sunshades in was for Noah's concerns, for Bill and Gary's concerns on rapid shadowing associated with the construction activities for Phase 1A. We don't think that's a concern at this point. So I know Bill would like to see him come out from the original purpose. However, that being said, as this dialogue is transitioning into more of the general temp issues, the whole conversation we've been having for the last half an hour here. And, so I just want to make sure everybody's tracking the big picture, the intent of what the sunshades are there for, or were originally there for, versus really where the conversation's evolved to now.
They become permanent fixtures.
The flutter in the wind at will.
They will eventually wear out. Doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, and so that is an important note.
Do we replace them or do we remove them?
Right now it looks like the rate that they're wearing at, some of them I would imagine will start failing or needing to be replaced within the next month. Some of them would probably last throughout the rest of the calendar year until they get the bell on them. The intent, if it's a construction issue that we're keeping them on through the end of construction, GARCO, the construction phase 1A contractor, is responsible for maintaining them. So I'm not worried about that issue per se in the short term. But obviously they were never intended as a long-term installation for me.
I'm just saying with this year, I wouldn't...
Whatever you do, don't mess around with the lettering.
Yeah, that's exactly the point.
But if one fails right now, do you replace it? And if they start failing, do you just take them all out? I mean, do you want to have dark light?
Do
you want to make it any worse? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once they go down, they go down, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Once they go down,
take that one.
You don't
out.
Want them flopping around in the wind. One. So
you want to flop in the water.
But you don't replace it.
No replacement.
You just take it out.
Yeah, I'll go with someone, right?
Fair enough. That's I think that's kind of where Bill and I left yesterday, and is to take them out after the sockeye runs over. Don't mess with anything right now because it'll probably take a day of activity over the ladder to actually physically remove them because they're all tied together.
Well, and if you have a bunch of fall chinook showing up, I don't think you want to be messing with
propose to do it early August, like during doble testing or something, before fall chinook starts showing up. But at the same time, we could only take them out as they start to fail and take them out this winter during winter maintenance. I'm open to Dale. I don't know if you want to chime in here on your opinions at all any further.
No, I think you've covered it well. Thanks, David.
Okay.
Good job, David.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. So I guess, just so I'm tracking, summary here, leaving them for now, and if any start individual shades start failing, we'll take those out, not replace them. And then are people in consensus that we only take them out as they fail, take them all out this winter, take them out early August before sockeye, before fall chinook? What's the
honestly, I would say just take them out this, plan to take them out this winter. And I mean, why mess around the ladder if you don't have to? If they fail, take them out. If not, just wait till the winter, take them out.
Does it cost us more to do it in the winter, though? Is it a contract responsibility, or are we going to have to eat that cost?
My sense, talking to Greg Hernandez, is a Core's construction rep, it didn't sound like he had any concern if we told Garco to take them out, that they would happily take them out as long as we give them some time to plan their work. They wouldn't ask for more money, because otherwise they're on the hook for maintaining them through March 17th.
Okay. So Greg will remove them during the winter maintenance period.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're there until January.
They're there until they fail, or January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, moving on to Portland updates.
Thank you.
We get better.
We've done the first one. Hausman, you said it is on the outage schedule.
Yes.
Is it on BPA's outage schedule?
I'll go
now?
Check.
Okay.
I was trusting Ben.
And the date on that again was?
Sometime in September.
Yeah. Early September to late October, early November.
Yeah.
The Washington Shore Fish View building roof has been pushed to a completion date of 31 August. This is why we've had it as an update.
They can get a longer hose.
Monkeys. So I looked through the spec, and there was nothing in there that stated that they will stay 50 feet away from the fishway.
So
did you look at that,
hose.
Ben?
Yeah, it's not in
there. The verbiage they're referencing.
It doesn't say that. So this will require some diligence on the part of Project Fisheries to make sure they keep their pressure washer 50 feet
away.
Yes. The ice and trash end gate and weir gate one is still on schedule?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
There's three dives all associated. Do the tailways dive to retrieve that for us. The other stuff's not anymore. In fact, that's during the sluice way out, but they're going to do dive for bay and tailways under the hill for valve replacement.
So we just
put tail well slide investigation.
Do you recall the days of that?
It's either 4, 5, 6, or 5, 6, 7.
Of August?
Of August. Yeah. No, yeah.
Is there going to be a high 4 bay, 7th, or 8th, or 9th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're aware. Okay.
Not the first day of August.
Yes.
Steelhead. Yeah.
No, not worried about Steelhead.
It should be.
It'll be the top of 4 bay.
I just sent it.
They didn't want it topped up.
Yeah.
We get the transponders off and the bells. They're going to lower the ramp of the Dallas spillbay.
Right. All right, the Dallas spillbay 9 trunnion pin, if you care.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it. Spillbay 9 trunnion pin.
Yes.
Would you care?
Oh, cool. What's up?
Fix it.
Make it done.
I would love to.
Make it so.
We'll be lucky if we get the assessment done this year.
What is the assessment this time? Is it everything or just 1 through 9?
Oh, no. It was supposed to be everything because that's what
right.
The former chief negotiated. And then it was scrunched back down to just May 9.
Just,
but
what?
Just 9?
Just 9.
No.
Wow.
Yes. But they're a little overworked this year, so they may not be able to get it done.
Isn't going
to
be even 9.
Yeah. Okay.
We're just going to talk about it.
It's been nothing
for a decade.
Yeah.
The second pin?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It is the trending pin.
It's going to continue on.
It's just the trending pin.
It's
just kind of a critical
that could
point
be
for
my
game.
Retirement legacy.
Everybody gets these days will have a failure of the spillway. And we're going to get their attention.
Yes. All right. Cordy, are you still on the phone?
Yes.
Let's go to the Dallas Ice and Trash Looseway OG modifications. What do you mean, where'd that come from? It's not on the agenda.
No, but I mean, that's not Sierra Pound. That's
okay, you ready?
Yes, ready. Go.
So the sluiceway throws up a lot of spray on the roadway there, and they're trying to figure out how to mitigate that and put up some kind of box system or something. And one of the alternatives that they're looking at is just smoothing out the drop in that sluiceway. There's about a 15-foot or so drop, and then right at that point, then it makes that turn and goes underneath the roadway, and that was one of the alternatives that they're looking at, is just smoothing that out and making an OG out of it.
Smashing idea, Bob. Smashing.
Yeah.
Go for it and make it so.
Make
done.
It so.
Yeah. No problem. Just want to make sure that you guys saw it.
If you're going to do this, number one, it's not going to be cheap. So I'm assuming this is going to go through some funding cycle, CRFM, ONM.
And by that time, they might have some sticker shock and not do it at all. So
yeah it just it will be expensive. Second, there will need to be the usual, you know, review by fishery agencies and others. So it would go through your kind of your 60, 30, 60, 90, because there will be potential effects on fish passage. I think it'd be better. I think it will be better, but we still need to consider it.
What year were they shooting for, Bob?
Because this will.
Oh, they haven't even discussed a year yet.
Okay. It's gonna make it a smooth ride.
Yeah. Much smoother ride. It'd be a little more like the OG at Model 2, but that had some its own problems, and so we got to be a little careful here. This would be in a turning area too, isn't it?
What's that?
Is this in a turning area within the,
Yeah, the channel turns right there.
That's what I thought. So there's going to have to be some thought about super irrigation.
The only apprehension I had was that we have such good survival through the sluiceway that you hate to mess with anything on it. But
I know. I think this would be a benefit, actually, though.
I do, too.
But I don't know what it means to how the flow goes through the channel itself. So hydraulic evaluation is necessary, how it changes the outfall, which would probably be better, because I think you get higher velocities, but that needs to be looked at, you know, how much higher, that sort of thing. So there would be some engineering review here, maybe some modeling necessary, at least, you know, CFD could probably work in this case.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sort of thing. But I think it's a great idea. I think it'd be a benefit for fish.
You actually might make your performance standards if you get this done.
Yeah, realistically.
Ooh. Hey, do you guys look at sunscreens?
Of course, we'd have to have the entire performance testing over again, you know, but that's only about $10-15 million.
Can we include pit detection, Bob?
Ooh.
Nice.
Damn, good catch, Bob. Thanks for bringing that up. I
forgot that one. And what is the speed at that location?
Sounds great.
It's screaming.
It's just butchering.
It would be about it.
Maybe the fastest, fastest reader ever.
It would be like
it was facetious.
No, it would be like the
upper part of the corn collector.
Yeah, smoking.
No, it's still a good idea, Bob, so. And no, we wouldn't require, most likely, as long as we do our due diligence in design, any kind of additional testing.
No.
There would be probably a post-construction evaluation, as usual, just to make sure that we didn't screw it up somehow, but yeah.
Okay.
No big thing.
So
what they're going to do in the meantime, seeing that this, you know, may not happen after they see a price tag on it and everything that's involved, they're just going to put up, you know, some kind of like a tarp or a block or roof system kind of at that location just to
something for the icicles to hang off of.
Oh, get some cloth from Lord Granite.
Yeah, there you go. The heating coils. The warm up roads.
I mean, it's what, a 1956 problem? So, been around a while.
Yeah, it's been there a long time. So,
I think that's the OG though is a good idea for fish.
No, sure,
but not detrimental.
Not detrimental. Might even help.
And then you water it now, so there's
no cofferdam. You just go ahead and build it.
Yeah, form it and pour it by gallon in place.
So, do you want it on the agenda anymore, or a couple years down the road when they comes back up?
Are you asking me?
I would maybe take it to to Fitterway. That's probably the right place for this next. If they're going to do some, you know, hydraulic evaluation or design work, that's Fitterway.
Okay.
But this time there's no showstoppers, and so
no showstoppers unless your dollar is not stopping. But that's
from an F-pump standpoint.
Definitely support it.
Go forth and have fun.
Go forth and pour.
Thanks.
All right. So moving on to John Day, Orifice Gates. I do have an update from Miro. Let me pull it up. Okay, so he says, and I have not rewritten this, so it's all in Zindel's speak. As promised at the last meeting, the work order has been created to inspect the orifice shaft connection when a turbine is dewatered for a 5-year overhaul. It will take a few years to catch up with all 16 main units, but it is a considerable improvement over the status quo. Unit 12 will be the first, starting in early July. This is a big job since the maintenance personnel needs to be lowered into the gate well in a man basket, and it will take almost a full day to unbolt and then reinstall the large cover plates involved. And then after those cover plates are moved, they will install a true indicator of the orifice position.
There was talk about increasing bolt size possibly.
Yeah, or type.
Or type, yeah, something to improve their connection.
He did not mention that in this particular.
Let's keep this one
pinged. Let's ping him on that one.
Don't they need to do the inspection first? Don't they need to do the inspection first before they figure out if they need something different?
Well, I'm saying when they do install, like when they re-put in, put a
bigger
one in. And then if they see this is a chronic problem, then that might be the fix of just going through and putting bigger connectors.
Yeah, and then having some way of inspecting it.
To make sure it's in position.
Or make sure it's in
position. Well, they'll put in the position indicator.
The other thing, too.
Is the one where it's both sheared, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is I was talking to Greg Kopelchuk the other day. It sounded to me like there's a way to inspect these orifices to make sure they are actually working. The flow is actually coming out. I've never been down that.
Have you been down to? You haven't been down to the gallery.
I've never
where
been
you
there.
Look.
I watched them build it in 1985, but I haven't been in there since.
We're not going to comment on that one.
So I've been through the gallery, and you can look down the light tubes, but it is very difficult. It's not like Bonneville at all, where you're right
that.
There.
No, I understand that, but from what Greg told me, it is possible to do that.
There might be some way to get a lower camera primitive
the way to actually look at this in season. I mean, this, you're talking years for this to actually take.
But you can prioritize if you can figure out with this primitive survey which ones to go after first if you think you have a problem.
You know, I think if you look down those orifice tubes, you can see the water. It's a really long tube.
Yeah, but he says you could definitely see the units that were off with the water. There definitely wasn't any water coming out. And those that were running, he could see either, those that were operating and running orifices or not operating running orifices, either one you could see. The water. So
this
it seems to me that there's a way to inspect this and have this on their inspection.
Until we get
an indicator that we don't have to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there a reason you have to wait for the 5-year overhaul to do that? Why can't you do it on an annual?
Because they have to dewater completely.
It's got to be dry.
Because they're going to have to go down the gate well to look at it, I guess, from the outside.
Well, it's kind of a scoop.
Yes,
we can find her.
I don't
once upon a time,
think anyone will put a.
That.
Yeah, nobody will put a diver in those gate wells anymore.
I did lose one.
Lost the diver there.
Okay. All right. And then, regarding the high mortality rate, he said that they performed additional STS camera inspections. They're not seen a whole lot that would indicate the cause of mortality. There were a couple of bad STSs, but they were due to plastic rivets not holding the mesh in place.
Yeah, that's
going to be a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah. They haven't found any cause for it yet.
Yeah, that's what I talked to Greg about, too, and asked some questions at the project about how they were operating the units, which sounds like it's
low end
to mid, so it's not it's not a gate well sort of injury or fatigue issue like we saw for Spring Creek fish at Bonneville. We saw a similar, didn't see a brain hemorrhage, we did see clean fish dead. So it doesn't appear to be that. I don't know what to think of Ken's trauma diagnosis on that, because I don't know what you could do to cause a fish brain hemorrhage and not show a sign outside the fish. And that just doesn't make sense. However, he's the guy who should know this, but I know that IHN does cause brain swelling and can cause hemorrhaging as well. So
He's going to try and get to McNary tomorrow to see if he's seeing something similar there to try and diagnose where it's happening.
Did that all work through? Because I heard there was...
Texting with him. He's in Portland today for a doctor appointment.
Okay. I heard there were some hoops he's having to jump through to get to McNary.
And I haven't heard if he can get in.
Okay, well, if he needs...
One project?
Was that?
One project?
Your project.
McNary.
Yeah, but one project. Was that
To get a hold of some fish, for example.
That shouldn't be too hard.
Is that a problem?
You can drive from Washington right up to the door. Just fill this bucket, please.
There was concern on whose permit the fish would go on.
Okay. Well, we can help with that.
Both.
Yeah, you shall.
If they're already dead, does it matter? Okay.
And if you want to kill, if they want to take 10 fish or something like we did of John Day, which I don't think we'd have to, but if we did, let us know. Because that's something we can accommodate. Definitely. Yeah. We could use the bottom of this.
Yep. Ken and Greg gave FPAC a very good update the other day on what we do know, what we don't know.
Yeah.
More that we don't know.
Just more that we don't know. I mean, I still think this looks like a disease issue. I can't imagine a trauma that would happen unless it had to do with a pressure, type of issue. But that's, pressures that we're seeing out there, turbines and things, are what we always see. So there's nothing unusual.
I believe you referenced some Spring Creek fish that has been whacked by the auto trailers. Well, there's not much of a physical mark.
Oh.
And some of those fish were kept, and they were dying a couple of weeks later. And then
he did say that. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
he wasn't just shooting at the dark and not. It sounded like he had something in his face.
Well, maybe there's something that would. Yeah,
there's a lot of unknowns. What actually could cause what he's seen is something we also.
The only time I've ever seen dead fish like this, well, two times. One was. They're clean but dead is Bonneville with Spring Creek releases, and I think that was a fatigue issue, and again, too much turbulence. And then we've seen Culinaris kill fish without any really outward signs at high temperatures, and that's occurred at several projects in the past. But he should know that. I mean, he should be able to identify that. So, Culinaris is pretty easy. The IHN is harder to nail down. So.
Testing that too.
You'll find out.
So can he just show up at the dam tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock sample, and there'll be a bucket of fish ready for him? Is that difficult?
It should be.
You better give the project notice.
He's been in contact.
Okay, if he's been in contact, it's the project.
Whoever's
you're going to have to talk to Bobby.
Well, not somebody else. But
it's Bobby. Is it Bobby Johnson?
Well, Bobby for sure. And who in Blue Leaf is the? I don't know who's actually
Mr.
Newman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I did get a letter from him. I wrote him.
She's overseeing all of those.
Oh, but ready? Yeah, but it should be out
now. So there's another person at.
Yeah, better give him permission. Okay, so that was the letter. Your permit. Your letter permit.
Yes, the permit was the thing that he'll ask for.
Yeah. So
what about the permit?
The permit's going to have to be signed by our here this week.
So what permit?
To get on project.
He's in town today, right? His doctor's appointment.
So the fish can't be delivered to him.
Wait a minute.
You mean he can drive right up to the? He can walk right up to the door.
He doesn't have to go.
But for the core projects, we require researchers to submit a request to access with their proposal letter. The projects then turn around and either write an approval or a denial letter, and we are not supposed to allow researchers on site
until
all of that paperwork is done.
And so that's why I wrote the letter from the district level, and it needs to be signed by the higher-ups and sent out the door.
Okay.
And I did that. That was the last thing I did before
yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yes. Well, whoever needs to sign it, there's got to be somebody under this guy who can sign it. So, can you ask?
Four. It's usually a digital signature. You just stamp it in there.
Signed.
Yeah,
four.
Yeah, not Walla.
I can sign.
This is the core.
Walla Walla.
This is the core.
You will find all the Portland District stuff online, all digitally signed, most of it.
Maybe you could help them.
Yeah, right.
I do two jobs.
Smuggle some out the door,
out of your arm.
Maybe you can do three.
Oh, sorry. I used to keep frogs in my pockets. When I get home, they never turned out
well. Who needs to work with you to get this one?
Yeah.
Let's get this.
Was that you were planning to eat the legs later?
All right.
You're going to go to bowl later.
All right, so the John Day AWS pumps, I don't have an update on that, so that will have to wait until next week unless Miro or Eric has called in.
Miro's on vacation and Eric's on night shift.
Then we will not have them calling in. All right. So moving on, there's been two added, the Bonneville Ice and Trash Sluiceway gates and the settings of gate 1A and 1B. Ben? It's not on your agenda. These were added.
I wasn't aware of that one. We dropped them to 68, which is the sill, and it was backing too much water up. So we had them raise it back to 70, which has been for years on the two manual gates, 1A and 1B. And I did see your message, Gary, about potentially trying to
get 1A. Yeah. Is there a way that, I mean,
yep.
More is always better, and that's Scott might yell at me, but more is always better in that situation, I think. So. I'm thinking the 1A might be okay.
You can try it.
I don't know about the highest tailwater, so just try, and if it doesn't work, we try.
Okay. That's pretty easy.
But, yeah, if it starts to back up at 10, you know, channel, yeah, that's not good.
And it was backing up at 4 minutes.
I thought it was going to.
Go up,
so yeah. I kind of suspect it.
Okay. So the next one is the Bonneville minimum spill, or low flow operations, however you would like that phrased.
Oh, okay. So I think in looking at the emergency list that's come out through TMT for emergency operations, spill emergency, or spill, but power emergency, it's looking through that list, the one thing that we really struggled with and still haven't resolved, I don't think, is how you back Bonneville down. We've had kind of a 50K limit there. In 2010, this committee tried to deal with that. We got bailed out by the weather, and so we all just kind of walked away and forgot about it because it was a sticky issue. But I think this year we may actually need to deal with that, and we probably should deal with it so there's clear guidance in the future of what to do at Bonneville. Sure. We know we have some issues with spill survival. It's there. There's latent effects, you know, and that's something we need to address, and we have some information on that. there's information on spillway survival at different spillway levels. I think we need to put all that stuff together and come up with a recommendation. Is 50 okay? Is 75 our bottom limit? Do we shut off spill and just go to a powerhouse and corn collector and ITS bypass operation? Do we go down to some shuttle off at some level like 75 or 50 and then but keep a little bit going and keep the corn collector moving downstream correctly? And how much is that? And I can't remember if we actually addressed this at ERDC or not, and I couldn't find anything that any of my notes on it.
Lori,
Tom and I talked about it. Lori, I think, has some information, so we need to get her involved in this, too. I haven't had a chance to actually call her and talk to her about it.
Because you still want the adult attraction spill occurring.
Yes. Yeah, so there's all these things that need to come together to work properly, but right now we know we get lousy tail race conditions at 50K, even below 75, and that's why we went to 85, because it didn't look good. And that's corroborated by the survivals. The survivals through that spillway for Chinook, not so much for Steelhead, but for Chinook, and especially later in the season, like we're talking about. So it's not looking so good. So this would be not a, you know, that list was kind of set up from April through, you know, beyond spill. What we're really talking about is the summer operation, July and August. When we have spill, how do we back off at Bonneville? That's the question. You know, what's the steps? What makes the most sense from a fish passage survival standpoint going down to eventually zero?
And you guys sent out comments to FPAC. FPAC has those. We'll send you comments back. And
yeah, that's on the list, but that doesn't really address the. I mean,
no.
The list stops at 50 and then it goes to zero, but zero may not be where we want to end up either. I mean, for the corner collector to work, we may have to say, no, we can't go to zero at Bonneville. That just can't be a deal breaker for us. I mean, if you have to take it, you have to take it. But
you know, this is something that I may not want to give up because I don't want that corner clearance.
We may need to address this just because of flows and not a power emergency. It's
Yeah, I know. We're in that situation where we may not have a power emergency, but we still have the flow level starting to drop off because of the 30 max or min for the powerhouse.
30 to 40.
Things. So, yeah, I think it's time this committee actually struggled all the way through to the end with this one and came up with a recommendation that goes in the fish passage plan. So that's what I'm laying out, and I hate to say it, but it's probably another.
Yep, I've got it started.
So I would like to ask a question about the list and how it functions. Is it a step-down process?
Not necessarily.
Is that intent, or is it a blocked group of
If you can, in the perfect world, solve the problem by stepping down the list, you would most likely do that. But not all problems are the same, and solutions aren't the same. So you can't guarantee you're going to go walking down the list in this order if it doesn't fix the problem. So it depends on where, if it's a powerhouse fire at the Dalles, or if it's a line, you know, fire under a line, or something else.
So it's kind of a smorgasbord. They get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Depending on the power emergency.
In a case like that, do you pick the spot or do you pick the entire suite above the spot?
It depends. I mean, I that's why I can't really nail it down because I don't know what the problem is I'm fixing. But what we did is we went through and looked at all the possible, the smorgasbord of things you could choose from, and you try to do them in that order if possible. But it has to fix the problem.
Say the problem's like on the lower river.
Yeah.
Changing things in the state
doesn't help it.
There's still kind of plain issues that used to deal with.
We have more than ever, but we're okay. You know, we can deal with it.
I think you guys have more capability, but I think you guys have some more flexibility.
We have very little right now.
But I'm saying in years past, like when Second Jubilee, we have transmission station went out of Ice Harbor, that caused all kinds of problems. You've done some things.
We've been working on stuff and getting things in order, but this is a condition where you're going to have 2 months of incredibly low flow, like a late August. And so we want to be prepared, have all our ducks in a row, know how to declare the emergencies, what tools we have in the toolbox. There aren't a lot, but those are what we have.
So the content of that list needs to demonstrate that, I think, in some way. And I'm not sure I read that when I look at it. It makes it hard to really understand how we use it. I think that you would agree with that.
We cannot make more clarity because I don't know what problem I'm fixing.
I understand that, but that's what he's saying. He said,
make that comment. We will follow this list as best as possible.
And it's a priority list.
Well, it's not. Sort of. If this would work to solve the problem, this is a priority we go in.
Is there a way to define, it used to be we had the cut plane issue, McNary, John Day, things, you know, you had to have so many megawatts above and below all these spots. Is that still the case, and would it help to define that to some degree as to how that might cause us to change the priority on that list?
Not really.
In a general way?
Not really.
Okay.
The list as it is.
Here, then, right. There, then.
Yeah.
Too variable.
You'd spend way too much time chasing things that may never happen.
But then we just have to look at it as a general list with a priority attached to it, informing you guys that this is our priority list and try to follow it.
If we can do that, that's what we're going to attempt to do.
But if you can't, well, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
Okay. I see where you're going.
And I think the list is intended for year-round, right? So, like, one of the first steps is going outside 1%, which is kind of...
Doesn't matter right now.
It is, yeah.
It most likely is. It depends if you need a burst of energy at one spot for 1 hour. Yeah. You might be able to do that. So it's really low likelihood of using it, but all those tools, like you said, are things you could use if they're available. And
I think timing is you can. We tried to address this through a timing, so it didn't make sense for us to have the out of the efficiency issue in spring. It doesn't make any sense. So if you have plenty of units, what do you do? So I think it does make sense to actually define them by season.
The spring it does make a difference for the outside 1%. In the summer it doesn't.
That's what we're saying. Right? Might
put
a spring lift. We might put a spring lift in the summer.
It doesn't make any sense in the spring.
And we used to break them down by seasons more frequently.
Okay. So one other piece of clarification for me.
What I said.
I'm glad you said that.
Scott, is the way this process, the procedure works on power emergency being requested. It's really about the market driven pieces, right? I mean, somebody doesn't have what they need for firm power.
We try to go to the market and we solve everything before we would ever cut into fish bill. Right. We've done all the things you can do prior to declaring one before we declare it. So we've exhausted the market, doesn't have any more resources. and or any way to get the energy where it needs to go, then we declare an emergency. So we're working hard all the time to right position now, ourselves to not have to ever declare an emergency.
However, the process starts with the market needing delivery energy to a specific location, right?
The region.
Yeah, a regional group, not just a region, but specific regions within our larger area.
Sure, there's a balancing authority, and we're within that, and so we have to provide energy to that. So
that's where it starts, this conversation about meeting.
It can. It could also come from California. It could come from outside your region.
So California is not part of the group that we're discussing.
It's attached
right now
to us.
For this list.
Well, sure. It could trigger that. We don't. That's why we brought the list to TMT a few weeks ago, as to what it takes to declare an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Someone outside our region, that if we're still connected, we can serve and help them, can declare an emergency as long as they meet those criteria.
They have to follow the same criteria that we're doing.
Right.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Right. So that was the whole point of that, is that if you really need it, and, you know, yes, then we can deliver it, but this is when we have to answer these questions before we do it.
Yeah, what do you need to do to declare an emergency, and then once you declare the emergency, what can you do fishery-wise to
minimize the impacts of it? Yeah. And so what we've got in place is all the tools in the toolbox. When a power emergency happens, it happens. Then we get on the horn and we start notifying people that it's happening. But it's instantaneous kind of a thing. It happens.
Yeah.
Well, we expect we'll be in the process at some point.
Right.
But the water that couldn't come out of Mica and Arrow in time, now it's going to be, there's a little bit more water than we thought we had. Is that going to make much difference?
The way that the treaty works, it's drafting water now to supplement the water that isn't there because it's gotten drier, drier, and drier. That's the way the treaty works. It's to supply a sort of a fixed amount of energy. It happens to help fish just as well because, you know, with the color of the water, it's there. So the dire predictions that we were thinking, the low flows kind of got washed out a little bit with Canadian water. But the specific water you're talking about and balancing how they do in Canada doesn't help because there's transmission limits. You can't get enough energy moving back and forth.
Well, if I understand, the proportional drafting is one of the reasons we got extra water out of Canada. Mm. But that doesn't have anything really to do with emergency declaration.
The water is the energy. The water is your fuel. And so if you have more fuel coming down and it's in the right places and you can burst for whatever the emergency is for a short time at the right place, duration is important in some of these emergencies. Sometimes it's not. 2001, we had months of lack of load or more load than we could meet, and so that's why we declared the power emergency, and it lasted for months. The ones that we're most likely going to face are going to be a lightning hit, power's under, there's fire under a line, the line got shut off. You have to provide it for some number of hours or a day or two. Or you can pick up more discharge from Canada or somewhere, try to get water down there to generate more without impacting your fish operation. So it's a timing issue, but these are mostly short duration, day, 2-3 day kind of things. They're not the whole month of August. So we just want to make sure we have, if we can go by that order, we'll try to do it. But fixing the problem is job one.
The example you talked about, a lightning strike or taking out power lines,
they shift immediately. They're going for it. When the guy says that the lines are getting smoke on them and they're going to arc out, or they arc out, or they burn down, you're done. Line's over. But it happens very fast. It's quick.
Well, in some ways, you don't have to deliver energy there either.
Well, you don't right there, but you have to. Yeah. The people on the both ends that wanted it, you need to get it to them some other route. And so,
in some cases, that might mean putting lines back on.
Some cases, yeah. But there's usually a way around things. You just have to figure out if you can overload or not, or put the load in the right places.
All right. Any more questions?
Hopefully. It's critical to us to be able to do this. We all like our lights on. We like our freezers to stay cold.
Highly
overrated. My air conditioner on.
So one question we did have in that list, we saw that you're going to max transport in the snake if you have to.
Isn't that what happens if you...
I don't have a problem. I'm just saying, right now we're doing trucks, though. Mm-hmm. If we get overwhelmed, do you guys have the ability to get a barge?
Ooh.
Or are you guys just going to do mass truck, just start getting as many lift trucks you can and just start shoveling the
floor. That could be a different issue, because I think looking at this is, you know, mass, you go back to transport, but the transport benefits are going to be what you expect to have. Especially massive, if there's a lot of fish.
But if it's only a day or two, you're not going to get a barge. The tug won't drive up and be able to.
I'm just saying, in case you've got a bypass. Say you've got like a 10 day, where you're like, you find like, oh my God, we're going to. Like, the new plant goes down for 10 days.
Sure.
Gonna, oh crap.
Yeah.
So,
the market will take care of it, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And would love to see the bank check. Yeah. But I'm saying something you guys want to think about is if we do have to do something like this, think of how you're going to transport the fish.
Yep. Yeah, because that's the assumption going down to where cutting spill of granite is going to be based on the fact of transport.
Where are the barges right now?
Where are the barges now?
The barges have two in service, and you're running between granite in here.
How much longer?
They dumped last night, so we got one
what's
back.
What's last date of barge transport?
14th. Currently, it's the 16th.
It's 14th.
Of July?
This year. I thought you changed it to the August 14th.
August
well,
or July?
We haven't made action on it yet. So.
But what, normally it's
what month?
Mid-August.
This
year might be. So there could be a couple of weeks there.
Because of numbers.
They may need to kick the barges back up. And they're parked up at Granite, right? So, but you don't have the tug available. That would be the issue.
Yeah, we'd have to get new tugs, and we'd have to get tugs online.
And that would take...
Yeah. And that would cost because we've got.
There'll be cost.
Well, pay
how long did it take?
To bring a tow load up there?
A new one online.
Well, I would have to do a modification of the contract because they're already out of service. Three and four.
So can you
third
and
fourth
that?
One. But
time wise, it takes
about
a week.
Why wouldn't you expect the trucks to do
it? I imagine a week. But to get a tow load up there physically, it takes 3 days' notice.
Yeah. Right.
But by late August, we're good until mid August.
Yeah.
By then, our numbers are pretty low, even if you have the max, that you still may not even fill a truck.
Yeah. No, you should be fine. I'm just saying.
Well, definitely into September.
So why don't we put it on the agenda for next time to revisit and see how things are looking and whether or not we want to have the ability to get it up there.
The Corps might want to be thinking about their strategy for transport.
Yes.
Right. And we'll revisit it at the next step.
Unless you guys figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right, Scott. The price is not a big deal. It is not an issue after September, so or after August, so...
We got barges till August, so we ain't got a lot of capacity, I'm guessing. You can always throw another barge on. They're sitting up at Lower Granite.
Those last 2 weeks are going to be the issue. Yeah. Whether there's a tug. Right. Or enough fish to care.
Yes.
Then it'll be nice.
Yeah, some more. Another tail of the run, right?
Another tail issue.
Yeah,
another tail.
I mean, the tail just keeps going on and on. It's the tail now. Then it's going to be the tail at August 14th.
So on the next agenda, that'll be the. We'll revisit.
Pretty soon the whole run is the tail.
Was this guy that part of the early
it's
part
beaver
of
the tail.
It's flat and white.
That's a beer.
All right. As far as the Bonneville minimum spill conversation, though, just to put some numbers on it, if the 50 KCFS is the minimum, we're looking at about 95, 97, and right now the STP doesn't show us going below that. So I think we might be able to skate by this year, but I think it's still a good conversation to have because there's still a lot of confusion as to what
this
should be
keeps
the
coming up periodically.
Yes.
What I don't want to do is get bailed out of it, not deal with it, have it come up again, not have plans. So
but there's also, those are averages, not actual instantaneous. And so if you fill a reservoir or something, it can be a problem. So it's definitely a question that we need to answer
hours,
someday.
You get up a couple hours, it's like, what do you want to do?
Sure. No, okay. We could run into it.
Yeah. And I'm pretty uneasy with 50. I'm uneasy with 75. So... I don't want to just be killing fish because it feels
good. I mean, there's fish.
I think the thought was going to zero. Doesn't mean that doesn't include the corner collector. That's not really included in the spill. So that would still be open.
It is. But the problem is it's the egress from the corner collector.
It goes in circles.
Okay.
Because that's why we built so much.
You do that in March? For question.
Yeah,
it helps. You don't worry about predators on kelts.
Okay.
Except for sea
lions. I don't think a kelt in the sea lion and Eddie's going to help that situation.
They're not going to care. Yeah, there's a lot of things to think about here.
If you would like to provide some build during that, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, I know you would.
Are we ready to move on?
We are.
Okay, moving on to research. So the only update I had was that on June 23rd, they got all the pit tags from the bond switch gate. and that sounded like it was successful.
So where's the answer? What's the answer?
The answer is?
That John. Has not been provided yet, what? And John is not here, so.
Give him the phone.
Here. We will wait until August to hear about that.
Sucker.
All right, RCC updates. The best part of the meeting.
Get your bingo cards out.
Yeah. All right, starting at Lower Granite. Yesterday, average 27.5.
Ooh, that's big.
Forecasted 5 days up to 28.5.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
28.5, which is the projected peak for the next 10 days. And 27 down to 27.5 for the 10 days. McNary yesterday 135.1, 5 day forecast 133, and 10 day up to 143, which is the projected peak.
Oh, okay, water.
Bonneville yesterday 134.5, 5 day forecast down to 125, and 10 days up to 138, which is the projected peak.
Are you sucking water out of the river?
No, we've finally filled Cooley.
And now I'm just trying to figure out how McNary is 133 and Bonneville is 125.
Well, there is.
Are you putting a straw?
There is many straws in the
California's finally.
Well, there's many irrigation withdrawals in between the
two. Damn it.
There's also a problem with the conversion rate. The spill occurs to get the right number. It's been there for years. Lori solved one of it when she got the wall, but it's still there.
Still there.
You can have negative water for a while. The Dells.
All right, moving on to lamprey updates. Nathan.
So, from negative water to negative fish.
Yay!
A couple of parts of the update. I think, just so people in the region who weren't on the list know, we have a John Day North Ladder LPS trap and haul situation. The pump there went out on the 24th. It should be removing the pump assembly today to be replaced as soon as possible. So that's going forward. And the numbers, typically what I read to you guys, here's what I think my past estimate is for Bonneville. And currently, that's why I want to pass around the spreadsheet people. So these are lamprey numbers, which is more apparent than you can see the top of the spreadsheet. But the lower right hand corner gives the overall, and it's negative 1387. That is driven by negative night counts, primarily in the Washington Chief Count window. The far left column got a lot of negative numbers that's day and night together. So there's most likely a recycling issue there where fish are moving upstream past the count station, unseen, uncounted, and then coming back down. And initially when this started to set up in early June, I thought it had something to do with possibly LPS passage, because we saw quite a few fish going through the LPS, it was looking really good. And I thought, well, a fraction of those fish are falling back down, maybe all the way through the count station. But as the time went on, the negative counts at the window far surpassed what we were seeing at the LPS. And so the first two columns are window counts for Washington Shore and Bradford Island. The next two columns are, the next column is the LPS count for Washington Shore and the Bradford Island. And, I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't have a good answer for this. As I've learned more about the situation, I found the article from University of Idaho, some nighttime lamprey counting work they did there in 2007 and 2008. In 2007, things were okay and positive in general. From 2008, they had a situation that's very similar to what we're seeing this year. They accredited that to recycling of fish, possibly moving between the crowder, essentially behind the crowder, under the picket leaves and capture the cap of the crowder, and then falling back down. Since that time, the picket leaf spacing has been reduced at 3/4 inch, but it's apparent Sunbelt fish are still recycling in that area. I don't have good answers for you.
And even if the recycling still is concerning downstream movement.
Well, in general, that's the old count stations, Washington and Bradford Island, sit downstream of the serpentine weir flow control sections, which are just sinking spots for lamprey. They often hit that and go back and forth. Part of the UOI report indicates that regular tagged fish will pass, on average, the individual pass up and downstream count window from 5 to 7 times. So the counts themselves are something that's going to be talked about in the meeting after this, if people want to stick around for that. Lamprey counts, nighttime, daytime, anytime, are hugely difficult. Probably more so at night because there's so much back and forth and so much up and down going on that we've looked at some of the counts, we've had some novice counters count on, and the numbers they get are just drastically different. sometimes it's a positive number, sometimes it's a negative number. So there's more to come on than, yeah, the counting of the lamprey. But that's for later on.
That's awesome.
Cascade Island, there was some lamprey that had found, they found some warts above the Cascade Island NWS picketed leads, and trapping has begun to remove fish from there. I learned that this morning they removed 10 fish from that area, so that's a dead end to lamprey. And so they're beginning the process of moving fish out of there. They've identified the area they think they're getting through, and it's a spot that we probably won't be able to really address until it's been in the dry.
What are you doing with those when you capture them? Or are you taking them, putting them up?
Stevenson boat launch, yeah. So they hit the release site. Yes.
No fallback from there.
No, they don't see any fallback. But there's lamprey are not nearly as directed in their movement at all, so they are always teaching us new things about what we can do. Now the other piece of a lamprey update is the Bradford Island crowder. They've started to find some morts getting in behind the crowder at the Bradford Island, big good leads, and you'll see MFR starting to come up about that. And they're still investigating that area. Again, those leads were reduced to 3/4 inch. Last year we didn't see morts there. There's been more diligent checking since the mort was discovered this year, and now they're finding more. So it's still uncertain how fish are accessing that area, if they should be excluded. It might be the issue of just as the crowder moves in and out, there's gaps that are opening or closing. There's a louver system in there as well that typically when it is in the dry and we're down there walking through dewatering fishes, those things aren't in the same position they are when the fish are moving through. So as I've talked to Ben about it a lot, you know, we're just trying to piece it together and do the best we can to monitor the situation and come up with solutions for the next season.
So when morts are counted and observed, Tammy sends out the reports, and it seems like there's been quite a few this year.
Yeah.
But I don't have any past years as reference.
Oh, they're posted online. Last we almost year. Got to 100 a couple years ago. 100 reports.
Yeah, 2 years ago it was ridiculous.
Yeah. And those are mostly salmon.
This year was.
That year it was mostly salmon. This year.
No, lamprey was ridiculously high.
Well, we killed.
And so, I mean, that's an issue that I've been concerned about. Just the FF seems to have very high lamprey mortality. And I was talking to John Whitaker out there the other day, well, last month, and he showed me an area he thought could be a problem for lamprey getting out of that AFF. Half ice harbor exit ladder that goes back to the main ladder. Right there at that junction, there's some guides and stuff in there that could cause lamprey to pile up. And, you know, anything that causes them more trouble getting out of there could end up, you know, sending them down to that grizzly drain where they're
you said this one was at ice harbor.
This is at the
ice harbor ladder.
See, it's a half ice harbor ladder. It's just the design. But it's at bottom. So
Sean Tackley is where that location
I mentioned off. That to Sean Tackley and said, you know, we really that's something that seems to be easily resolved. And he said it was probably best to be done in the lamprey group and not in the FF group or whatever, you know, on that. But
we can work together.
There is an issue there. So, and I think it's an easy one to resolve, and it could be as easy as, I don't know, Ben, do you think it'd be an easy thing to do?
Like a slot filler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just shroud or something like that, just put in there, and I don't know how long it would take if it would just take a evening or two to put something in. But
because if the gets too hot, they're going to stop using the sandwich, that system would be in the dry, something we could maybe do in season.
Come up with something.
To see if we see an effect, to see if it actually does help with some of this lamprey mortality.
I don't know if that's a problem. It's just something that John thought was a problem, and I thought it sounded like something that could be easily resolved with some sheet metal, and, you know, not a big deal, but...
Gary has a welder.
That same problem with the exit as well, before he exits back into the ladder.
Yeah, that's what I was, it's there. It's that, yeah. With a half ice harbor access to the main ladder. That's the spot.
Yeah. There's another location similar that has slots downstream from that, but
okay.
The solution would be the same.
Yeah, and that spot, when you have that high flowable abide there, I was thinking that might be a particularly bad spot for lamprey to get through, just because there's change going on. Mm-hmm. Of course, now we have the sockeye.
Why is it moving that down? How does it have slots?
Yeah, that far.
Yeah. It looks like they had called there.
Temporary.
The sockeye or the lamprey? Yeah. Well, that's not overly surprising.
Yeah, not too surprising. Yeah, I just think there's going to be problems all of it there for sockeye this year.
So these reports, I take it at the end of the year, they're summarized and there's totals? Like how many elaborate died of the project or what? Yes or no?
Do you summarize those in your annual report? No, I don't think you do.
I did a summary a couple of years ago, but that's not last year. It was 2 years ago, 13.
Ooh, change form.
When we had.
I'm just thinking of 40,000 land breaks passed and 8,000 died. It'd be nice to be able to subtract that out.
Yeah.
It'll be 8,000, but it'll be several hundred this year.
That's how it gets. It'll be 100.
Those are locales that are generally covered below the area they're counting. So they wouldn't necessarily count for the passage total.
Yeah,
you have to figure out that.
But you know they made it to the dam.
Yep.
And they made it in the fishway too, which is difficult.
Ooh, leopard gate. Yeah.
But as far as accounting goes, like Kevin mentioned, it's available. It's open to you if you want to feel free to go through them.
You got to go through, pull up each MFR. And
yeah, you are welcome to compile them yourself.
I can send you a spreadsheet.
Third starter.
I'm still about 100 feet from the surface. So.
There are some documents to help you find all those MFRs specifically related to lamprey, and I can help you locate those.
Joe, I can send you what I put together 2 years ago, just so you have some background.
Okay, that'd be great.
I can remember.
Would you like that as an action item?
Yes. Assignment from the family.
Yes, you. Gary will.
Gary will, yeah. I expect that.
Actually, that would be it. He has to be a summarizer of the death, the mortality.
Are you
keepers of the death?
What am I going to do?
No, we're talking FFU.
No, Gary's suggesting that I could just pile on a few more.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want to talk to him, you talk to me first.
We'll take care of that. No problem. Send nasty email to Tammy about FFU.
Tammy on the spot now.
No, Tammy's the owner.
Need to change
that. That power went to your head quick.
Damn!
Yeah, it did.
Is everybody aware that Tammy is officially the Chief of Operations Division? He's all been mentioned here multiple times.
I noticed that. Chief of Fisheries.
I thought she got the espresso style.
Chief of Fisheries.
I actually volunteered for it.
She did.
Sort of.
I was there.
What's the job description?
Do the 13 and the 12 position at the same time. She I get to be my own
salaries.
Assistant.
Gets all the jobs.
Yeah. Let's see, 12 and 13. Yeah, those together.
Wow. No, I think they subtract them and I get the difference between the two.
One.
There. G is one.
All right.
So that's all I have for a lamprey update. Do you have any questions?
G.
Kinniped update. So Bjorn, are you still on the phone?
I'm here.
Excellent.
Okay, so this update is primarily about felines that made it up into the forebay in 2015. I forgot to add that last time around. So basically there were a minimum of 6 new California sea lions that were observed in Bonneville forebay in 2015. This is in addition to the 2 California sea lions that have been residing in Bonneville Pool for multiple years at this point. Of the 6 new animals that were observed in the forebay, only one is still being seen on a regular basis. He's using a trap that ODF&W placed up there. So here's a rundown of like specific information. So back on March 8th, 2 or 3 California sea lions, small ones, were seen moving downstream through the nav lock. So these were observed by the nav lock operators. So we're not sure if it was actually 2 or 3. They did get some pictures. They were definitely small California sea lions. A small unbranded California sea lion was observed in the forebay on April 8th. A branded California sea lion was observed in the forebay by the ODF&W pinniped crew. This animal was branded C049. ODF&W placed a floating trap in the forebay in late May after the main trapping was done in the tail race. Pretty much immediately after placing the trap up there, we started seeing sea lions using the trap, at least one or two. So on June 3rd, a branded California sea lion was trapped by ODF&W. This sea lion is branded U322. On the next day, he was moved down to the coast and released down there. So there's also a branded California sea lion that has been seen using the four-bay trap regularly in the past few weeks. So this guy is branded U625. ODF&W plans to trap again in late July when they have more time. So pretty soon they're hoping to hopefully move that sea lion from the four bay down to the coast if they can trap them. So that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Cordy, are you still on the line? He might have taken off for his picnic. So for the avian update, one of the updates is that the Dalles and John Day are sharing a hazing boat. And that worked reasonably well, but some of the hazers are not apparently in good enough physical condition to exit the boat and get onto the rocks down at the Dalles. So it was not as effective as he had hoped it would be.
Get onto the
rock
bridge,
island.
The bridge island there.
Yeah.
It's not part of the job description.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough scramble. So what I've been hearing is that a lot of the birds are defeating, going under the wires this year. John Day, all the way up the river. That's what Blaine Parker told me yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, that he was seeing a lot of birds from an airplane looking down here. I don't know how he knew for sure they were under the wires.
Yeah.
I figure where the wires are. You see birds there.
A lot of birds moving right now. It's kind of dispersal, post-nest dispersal starting to kick off.
Yeah. No, I think it's kind of winding down, but...
Yeah, he saw splashes. Has he seen a splash?
He's flying, 2,000 feet.
Well, I think in the SMP program, a lot of the land birding have higher than normal bird marks than we've seen. So low, clear water, birds are probably loving it.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, it just seems like, and it's low tailwaters too, so the wires are higher than they usually are because of that, our tail for the water surface.
And we saw more birds up higher at the Dalles than we've seen years past.
So. Yes.
Well, in a perfect world, there'd be enough for everybody.
Yeah.
And when we get there, I'll let you know. We're not really willing to share quite
yet. We can talk about birds more later.
Yes, we can.
Do you have any other avian update?
Enough of that yesterday.
That was painful.
All right, so moving on to critical infrastructure. This has been on the agenda for a while. Do we still want to schedule a meeting in August, starting in August, to discuss critical infrastructure at each of the projects?
Task group, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Not my task group.
Oh, yeah.
It's Joe's task group.
Joe won.
I'm just being honest.
None of us know for sure.
So the request was for the Corps to provide a list of critical infrastructure items that we have and kind of the maintenance and budgeting for those items. And what we have found is that no project nor district does it the same way. So we tried to standardize that, at least for the FPOM committee, and we were mildly successful. And then Ken took off and went to the projects, and it kind of stalled. So
what is critical infrastructure?
This kind of goes back to a decades-long struggle with fisheries folks in this arena to figure out how the Corps spends their money on O&M stuff and how it's prioritized and what we have for spare parts and how we're prioritizing trunnion pins and gate hoist drums and all these sort of things. And so it's kind of an attempt to prioritize, or just a list of anything else. Prioritization seems to be a bad word with that, but I think some advice is appropriate for the chiefs on how and what we think is most important to spend money on for spare parts, for new facilities, or not new facilities, but facilities that are failing, replacements and things like that. So that's the idea of just trying to get kind of a bit of a handle on how the Corps does that and interjects maybe a little bit of fisheries agency.
Yeah. And the idea is if there's like items that have like long lead times, those are something you might want to have on site, especially if they're like, say, critical stuff like, say, a fish pump.
for that.
Yeah, spare parts, like for the pump at McNary that just went out a while back. We have an oil cooler that goes out. Now we don't have one, so we got to steal one off another pump. And then, you know, well, why didn't we have one on site? Be good to have an extra. So those
there's redundant pumps at all the projects for each.
There supposedly is redundant pumps, redundant procedures, redundant operations, but apparently there's some lack in the equipment.
Don't forget, you sometimes have redundant pumps, but sometimes they're like being rehabbed. So like right now, McNary doesn't really have redundant.
McNary number two?
Yeah.
How long?
Forever.
Yes. So that's kind of an idea, just to
that kind of stuff.
For us to keep a finger on the pulse of that.
Project by project.
So we were going to just sit down and go project by project and have a look. And that's now we're trying to get the projects to give us their kind of their list.
We go through and prioritize their best areas.
Yeah, it goes back to Gary. It goes back to the mid-90s. And I've been bloodied every time I tried this. So,
trying again.
Eventually,
so we want to continue attempting that, right?
Your scabs have healed. You're ready to go again.
So I'm not going to be the chair on this one.
Oh, yes, you are.
You want to retire?
So Walla Walla seems a little more resistant than perhaps Portland District. Should we start with a Portland District project first?
Yep. That sounds good. That it can become at ease as to how kind we really are.
Start talking. We'll break him down.
All right.
She'll break him down.
I'll get it figured out.
Okay. Can we start with Bob and beat on Bob for a while?
Cordy?
Yeah. Cordy, yeah.
He's fun to beat on.
Turning pins.
Turning exactly. Wire ropes.
Wire ropes.
The funny part, that's not even a fish.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those sort of things. It isn't just a fish creek motor or something. This is everything that affects fish passage.
Right.
Which is everything.
Well, not turbines.
Turbines.
If your generator goes down on unit 6, I really don't give a rat's.
How's when you want
to
be first?
I think we
got
to know what's on the list. You don't want to.
All right.
Be able to affect the
Bob's not on the phone, so we'll make him.
It's above the chair.
He went for a picnic.
Exactly.
More reason than making the chair.
Yep.
So you get for picnicking.
There we go. All right, BPA updates?
Nothing since last time.
So everything you're squeaking along, as it were.
So far, so good.
And now for the fun part.
The list of MFRs.
MFR 12 through 40. Any additional comments?
34.
Oh, I'm sorry. I added some on mine because they've come out. So through 40, and actually 42,
well, almost
43.
All of these.
Is there a summary of those 40?
There is when you go home. There is when you go open them yourself and make your own summary.
Uh-huh. Oh, my. So was a fish barge schedule change something we need to discuss? The rest of the mergers.
No. Actually, Tammy, one suggestion I did have on the MFRs, in the title, if you guys could put like on the side a number of parentheses, that would make summarizing them super easy. That way we don't have to open each individual one.
What?
Talk to the project. I do not have a Columbia River coordinator at this time, so I will not be doing that. However, if you would sweet talk the project, maybe they would be willing to do that for you.
Which one? No, I'm just saying it's like for like
number of warts in the filing.
Just put like L9S5. Something like that.
For what?
Morts? Like lamprey, there's 9 lamprey morts, 5 salmon morts. So that way you've got a quick way to do a quick summary. Really?
That's crazy talk, isn't it?
That is. That's so hard.
It's hard to do.
Crazy talk.
Do you
want to look at everyone?
What was I thinking?
Boy, let me slide away.
Put one more thing in the title.
I'm sorry.
You want 417 versus 6-9 sockeye morts.
Yeah. So why is L before S? I think S should be before L. If you would like to do that,
how about you? How about CH?
For the love of monkeys. Yeah, okay, moving on. Do we have any additional comments on any of those MFRs? No, excellent. Okay, so moving on to bond 41, which was sent out a day or two ago. I know, because I sent the agenda and then you all insisted upon sending documents after I sent the agenda. So.
Well, it just the fact that you didn't include the things that you should be
because they didn't come up in a timely manner. So, Unit 18 is going out of service at Bonneville. There's an MSC out on it. Unit 17 will be used instead. Gary and Tom
are more reluctant, but
agreed that that was a worthwhile thing to do.
Instead of losing the unit for a long period of time, yes.
Yes. Yeah, are there any other comments on this, or can I say it's been approved? Excellent. Approved it is. Moving on to the Dalles TDA 08 transformer installation. Ricardo is here. This, be gentle. This is his first MOC.
My third week, by the way.
Oh, let's hit them hard.
Welcome to the pits. It's kind of like a gladiator pit in here.
I was going Dante's pit straight on.
Dante's pit, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll let you go.
So, do you have any... Any comments or concerns that you would like to share with him?
Well, okay, you've got all kinds of stuff coming in here already. I think the key for me was redundancy during the August period, and whether or not we're going to be running for any period of time without a redundant transformer bank to administer the fish units, to keep the fish units running. So that's what I was concerned about was, knowing that these are all kind of rickety and we have some problems, I wouldn't want to be losing the both fish units in late August. It would be a bad time. And this is activity starts in August, so it would be going through August. So that was my concern, and I don't remember if I...
What is the work?
Parts?
What's the work? What are they doing?
They're replacing the transformers.
Okay. So you will go a period without redundancy.
You will.
Yeah, and so the time of the year would be bad, and so could we, what I think I was asking was switching T7 in place of T1. I think, looking at the order here, 7 was supposed to be November through February, T1 is July through October, which would be the highest passage months of the year. Why couldn't we flip those two around and then avoid potential problems if we lost transformer right in the middle of
is this one going to interfere with the work on the AWS? That might be what it is.
No.
I think so.
No, because this doesn't start right now.
This is like 2018-2017, so the AWS work should be done by then.
By the way.
Yeah, it's going to be right at the same time.
Okay.
That'll come on, but it's still not enough flow for, I don't want to rely on that.
Right.
The
reason they cannot be switched, Ricardo will explain that to you.
The reason that they gave me is that T1 is oil or a water cool, and so they found that that one has the most issues based on the different testing they do, Dalles testing and that. And so their concern too is that if it starts leaking, then they have a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. And so they have the contracts in place and everything set up to start the work on T1 first, and that's the explanation I got.
Okay.
So if you guys have more specific questions,
and I had asked
that back.
I had asked that same thing. I suggested switching them, and they told me that they are so concerned about T1 that they are reluctant to delay working on that.
Internally. So if we lose TA, which has got problems in the middle of the T1 replacement, what do we do? In September with $500,000.
How often, what was the percentage rate of losing both fish units?
We played that game before. Jason Sweet how that worked for him.
I'll tell you what, that's a problem, can be a problem.
It is
I'm
going to
retire before it gets here so you guys can deal with it.
Don't you dare.
It's a problem. So if you lose TA in the middle of September 1, we'll have the other emergency online, maybe not, but it's that's going to be an issue. I don't know.
That's not much redundancy.
Hopefully,
when are they going to haul off the old transformers? The spares that may or may not work?
What's that?
There's a set of spares there that may or may not work.
No,
you're really selling this well, Scott.
Well, that's what they've switched so they can run off the main transformer 1 or 2. Do you have to put those in place as the backup?
Right.
or they're going to be, they may be leaving and not have those there at that time.
No option.
Because the AWS is in.
I don't think any of us want to see the losing those fish units. I don't care what we have for emergency. We can avoid that.
Well, we had
the whole point of, you know, the emergency system is really dire straits situation. It's not a fallback. So if we can avoid that happening, we need to do that, whatever it takes. That's it, this is a big deal. This could be a huge deal. And it'll leave a very black mark.
What water is it cooled by? It says cooled by water. Is it actually a separate coolant, or is it actually water from the river? Or
the way it sounds, it's water from the river, but I'd have to check. I don't know that.
Okay. Well, I'm curious if there's an issue by doing it in the winter if it's frozen, whether it's a problem to work on things like this in the winter without them running.
Well, they have them scheduled. So
well, they do. But
I'm not talking about changing the schedule. I'm just talking about flipping. So I understand the concern, and I see that, but is there some way that we can have a backup system for TA in case we lose it? That's the key here. Is there a spare transformer? I mean, maybe it's only a week.
Not like those. I mean, they're big. They take
weeks. I know. It's like it's not something you can just pick up.
No, they take weeks to a month to put in to get the oils. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know where you're going with that, Scott, but if there's some way of having some backup plan here for that period of time, even if it takes a week to get into place.
You have to give them a time frame for getting something in place.
Yeah, well, immediately, up to a week.
Yeah,
I was going to say. I wouldn't want to go more than a week.
So if Ricardo can go back and ask if they can move one of the other transformers in place. Or
have it ready to go.
I mean, you may just take one off the other units and bring it over. That's a lot of work.
But you can do it.
But that's maybe not a week. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So what is the plan? I mean, that's the thing. I'm looking for a backup plan because this is a dangerous situation of, you know, it's running your car down the road without a spare tire.
But will the AWS be completed by that time?
Garden down the road on your spare tire.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, right. And so that may be what the answer is.
And there's another thing, you got no spare tire. Chunks are going to fly.
That's the problem.
So, yeah, let's keep working on this one because just saying, well, we can't do it is not good enough here.
But Gary, what's the justification for not using the new $16 million AWS as the potential
backup? No, we would use it. The problem is it was never intended to go
not
a float. It was never intended to basically back up both fish units. It's basically to replace one fish unit. If you're losing both fish units, you're not so happy.
Yeah,
isn't that what we tested, though?
It's fine, but it's just not something I wouldn't want to rely on if you have to.
Yeah.
Let's try not to rely on that if we can. You know, let's try to have something else.
Well, let's look at
temporarily
it, but there's a chance.
Doing.
It's what, a month? How long's your period?
4 months.
I mean, down the road, we'll have redundancy.
Yeah, month, I'd be able to.
Okay.
So 4 months.
I wouldn't expect the units to go bad, but a transformer could go bad. We've already been told that
the
TA's got some problems. And so relying on that for months while we're doing this work, to me, that's taking a big chance.
The other thing, I mean, depends how far you take this. There's only one line that feeds those. So there are single points of contingency already in place. So it isn't unheard of. The system's already sort of not. There's some other little things.
Okay.
You can't run off line 2. You have to run off line 1. If line 1's getting replaced or not there, mm-hmm.
then we're dead in the water. Well, let's explore it.
Okay.
To the extent that we can. Because it's an uneasy situation.
Have them provide a detailed justification as to why they cannot leave it if that's the route they decide to go.
Okay.
Or
it just goes out there. If we don't need to take the risk, let's not take the risk if we don't have to.
All right.
So, yeah, so it puts the risk on fish, and that's well,
six,
easy to
six
do,
weeks
but
of
not
it,
really
isn't
acceptable
it?
To me.
When would the start time be okay? Mid-September, third week September, first week October?
Well, we can just do additional spill to cover us for September, so that's fine. So, yeah, mm-hmm. September's fine.
But that's the concern, is the peak period in September is August, September.
It's the first 2 weeks of September, usually, if we don't see something unusual.
Right. So if they could slide it till then, that might be a new start date that's less of a risk.
There's another transformer they could just switch it with that would be, so they keep their 4 month blocks in place.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're working on it.
So, yeah, that is the goal for it.
Spill?
Yeah.
Spill.
That's a contingency plan.
We figured that would get you guys more little more
sediment. I was trying not to go down that road. I was reminded that I probably should consider.
Until we're on the freeway, yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. So one more that was added. It's in your inbox, and I just want you to be aware of it because we need kind of a quick turnaround on it, and I apologize for that.
Is that why you brought ice cream today?
She forgot about that.
That's not his call.
The Dalles is doing their CO2 fire suppression delivery and installation, so it requires units 1 through 4 out of service for two outages. One is a 2-hour outage on the 22nd, and the other one's 4 hours on the 23rd. This is all in the MOC in your inbox. It also will require the fish units to be out of service for 4 hours, but that work can be done at night.
Okay.
So, when you get it, just send me back comments. That would be great.
That just came out like hours ago?
Like at 8:30 this morning.
Okay. So, I'm going to give you the tentative okie dokie. If I see something I don't like, I will let you know.
All right.
Hours ago.
Tentative okie dokie.
Tentative okie dokie. I'll give you the tentative
okie dokie. All right. So, moving on to Walla Walla MSCs. What?
One issue that we didn't touch on, maybe you flashed past it, but it was Bonneville, Washington Shore, Sockeye.
That had already been approved and we were moving on.
Until it passed.
Oh, so we don't want to talk about it.
Those ones
if you
passed.
Need more information, it'd be in the weekly report.
How many did you catch?
Yeah.
Done.
How many did you catch?
Zero.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're out.
But you tried.
They're out?
Yep.
The MFR is
born, I think, and
that's
the
thing. Ah, that's what they from there. I was wondering, because I did that. That's a lot of stock. That's where they came from.
Oh, did you think so? That those that showed up at the FF were the.
I think they're. No, we pulled some off the leads.
Yeah.
Swearing out. I think they blocked them with a raid.
I didn't see that. Was there an MFR on that?
There's only a few, really, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Trumbull. I don't know if he's going to be on it.
The others ended up.
Okay.
Their fate is. Yeah, I can't see any of their.
Okay. End of story.
And the access is closed, so.
Okay.
So is there an MFR for the soccer that showed up at Ice Harbor? I heard mention of it from Ann, but I didn't see it anywhere else.
The soccer that showed up at Ice Harbor?
The dead one.
Dead soccer that washed up on.
Unless they get their hands on it, you don't know MFR.
So this was in the form.
We do.
Well,
it's not easy.
I've advised you on that in the past.
Washed up where?
If it's within our facility.
Yeah.
If you're close to the water, you're not
going to have
a problem. Yes, it is. Oh,
not
floating. Warm water created problems in the forebay. There's a lot of dead fish in the forebay. Sure, there's not been any collection of those fish.
I heard sockeye.
Yeah. So, well, I'll ask Ken about that.
So before we leave Bonneville, is the Washington Shore LPS running?
Correct. Yeah,
very low level.
Right, but the air bubbles is not a problem right now with the low tail water.
Not like 10% anything.
It's been operating on the 0, 15, or 30% valve opening.
Okay, low. Okay, good.
Very low end.
Thanks.
And it's that total at the bottom of your page, like, something like 53 fish. So it's collecting less fish than it had in previous years.
Oh, yeah, no water going through that. Usually
there are, but you are collecting fish now. It's
open.
Doors
are open. They're getting
how long do we run it?
What's?
I think it's 24 hours a day, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but how many more months?
Oh,
September?
Through September or to September?
It's some time in September. I don't remember if it's 1st or 15th. I not liked
it. If it's not past the main fish, there's a potential for the bubbles. If we're not running the valve much, then maybe there isn't. Just if it's not being used much, then, you know, should we shut her down?
I think there's potential for that. I think the end date wasn't really kind of set to a calendar date, so we're going to wait to see what the run did and try to accommodate the fish.
Okay.
As it's performed so far, it's been a very disappointing year.
But for those 50 fish, how many of them make it into the forebay?
All of them.
Can you say that about fish that go up the ladder itself?
All 10,000, 100,000?
Well, minus.
We talk about it.
Yeah. Tens of thousands versus tens.
We don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks for the update.
All right. Lomo?
Lomo number 2 was approved last month.
Why do you keep sending it to me?
I don't know why it's on the list.
Did they approve it?
I wasn't here last week. Maybe it's one. Or the week before. Number 3, transfer grounding. disconnect switch replacement. Lamont needs to do this work immediately before the double test on number two. Put a phase ground switch. It's failed the double testing a year ago, so we have to replace it before they do the double testing the following week.
So do they have to take the power completely offline and take the line off, or what do they have to do?
Justification, description, impact. No impact of facility operation other than that described, which means...
Why are we MOCing it?
MOC.
MOCing it, yeah.
We haven't had a death yet.
It's good.
We haven't had a death yet, yeah. Oh,
okay.
But Trevor made back a little comment saying that he would like to see, what was it?
He made a comment on it, I was going
to. Yeah. His comment was that spill percentage, yeah, for the adult delay. All that type of stuff going on, so the best thing to minimize these impacts by any of these by transitioning to a uniform spill pattern while maintaining RSW for juveniles. Looks like we already have an LMN 10 table in the FPP, and so that's what we're going to go for right now.
So, but we're not changing anything. They're just attaching a wire, or do they happen to go to 100% spill because they take the line out of service?
Transmission line will be removed from service. T1.
So, it's 100% spill?
Yeah.
For how long?
It's a spill.
Yeah. It's a spill.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why do they not combine that with when they're going to do it anyway for prior to double test?
It probably has to be done before they do the double
test. So the 8 in the morning till 12 in the morning before they start double testing at 1 o'clock, can they make those two? Is it better to put them together instead of having one week and then go another week and you disconnect the whole project and then have to reconnect the project? You're already going to do that, so yeah. If you extend the other outage a few hours, or...
I think it's because they got the schedule of double testing going on right immediately on Tuesday, or Monday.
Right, but how long does this take?
But in this thing it says it takes maybe about 36 hours. Require a total power house outage, 100%.
Yeah, 100% spill.
I'm saying 36 hours. And there's a ground fault at something right in line.
Okay.
It'll be out of service for 2 days.
Station service.
Forklift and move.
That's
it.
This is an emergency.
This is different. This is new.
Okay. This is an unknown thing.
Yeah.
I have a problem doing it. I'm just going to online.
So, yeah. Is there any potential this is going to change the temperature of the water? When you go to 100% spill there the first week in August?
No, that's
or, that's my concern, is that we're running into those periods of time when you're...
So we don't replace the switch
right now? It's like it's pretty constant.
Pretty mixed.
Down top to bottom.
It's pretty, there's not a lot of differential.
Let me get the ice, there's
okay.
Not a lot.
Okay.
On 50 feet instead of whatever turbines across the whole.
So it'll be offline 36 hours total.
36 hours total.
They can't isolate that and then bring it back on.
You're going to get some more comments from Scott.
That question has not been, and I know. I didn't get any comments from Scott until now.
You're going to get a lot more.
We didn't get it until 8:30 this morning.
No, this was last week, June 18th.
When I was off.
June 18th.
Anyway.
You just
did
the
emails,
didn't you?
Plenty of time.
You just emailed all the
more than 2 weeks.
So Greg asked him if they can isolate it and then come back online and not be off for 36 straight hours.
Don't get lost.
I think they said it would take 36 hours approximately to get that switch replaced.
Yeah.
So there isn't any way to bring it back on until the switch is replaced because I think the current has to go through the switch, I think.
I don't know. Sometimes there's two systems, depending on where the switch is. Yeah. But if it was something could isolate and come back on, that'd be great. If not, then we're stuck.
Yeah, well, from what they told me, this was a only way to get her done, but...
Okay.
Instead, I rely on ops for that.
Okay. I'll ask her. I want to get back.
Nice. Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
Yeah, I'll
have
vacation.
Good. That's one and two. No, it's two and three.
Yeah, you're Ice Harbor.
Ice Harbor. What's this one? Number
Unit
9.
Unit priority.
Unit priority.
Ken, you on?
This has been implemented.
So yeah, I was going to say. Okie dokie, this
can. We're doing it.
Okay, so this one's been approved. Good.
Sure, unit priority change.
Yeah, in fact, there's a coach. She didn't put them in it, but. She sent me a note to you guys. Okay. Goody.
Next one?
Number 10.
Number 10. It's a Trumbo. Is he on the line?
I hope so, because he's going to, I don't remember this one.
Is it 410 or what's 10?
IHR 10, turbine unit priority change for research equipment removal and install at Ice Harbor.
That's been out there for a while.
That's I guess this one came out last on the 1st, it looks like. And he needs turbine units, well, he needs removal of trash rack transducers and for and unit 1 and 2 outages. A unit 1 outage for SDS transducer and screen removal on the 13th of August. Gosh, these are in August.
Yeah.
Unit 1 outage for release pipe installing unit 1B. That's 13th, 14th of August. Unit 1 outage for release pipe removal on November 2015. So he's going to be testing this thing again.
Removal or installation?
Yeah. What does an appendix say? Definitely. You know, this is an MLC now for this type of work.
Didn't Trevor send you something on that grade?
I don't have anything. I think I was gone last week. Maybe.
He said he covered all these.
Yeah.
He was okay with them? I mean,
no, the only question I have is what's the
okay? Okay. Cover doesn't mean approved. It means you read it.
He read it. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
So you do have a response. I don't know what it is.
I do not have the response on me.
No response is in here.
I'll get your response tomorrow or Monday.
Tomorrow or Monday. Okay.
Because I don't remember what's on.
Yeah. This came out the 1st of this month.
Hey, folks, it's Russ. Sorry to interrupt, but I've got to sign off here.
Dog,
go
yep. Dog. Yes.
Yep.
Enjoy. You're up.
Actually, I have an appointment to get a tip on my windshield fixed.
Hand walk.
Exciting.
Yes. You're saying that's more important than the rest of us? Really?
Shouldn't you
be able to meet us? I'm going to act
by that.
I know I love trudging bins, but I got this appointment already set up. Sorry. Bye, all.
See you tomorrow.
Russ, Jim Keith.
Three things I do myself.
Comments are required, please, on this number, this one for...
number 10, Ice Harbor 10. I'll go back.
Ice Harbor 10.
We already gave you comments.
You're supposed to read
commented
those.
And all that, Greg.
Yeah, well, you don't know.
Well, it was a comment, but I don't have the response. Or I don't have the response.
Lots of ass.
I'm going to print this thing out.
Trevor Morrow.
It's coming.
Greg, this one's
going to
need a teletype, so I guess just keep RCC in the loop in terms of...
Yeah.
That needs to happen.
But when does it start? This is August
13th.
August.
So we've got a little time.
August. We got time, but it'd be nice to have information soon.
Which one are we talking about?
Ice Harbor 10.
The one needs to go back and read Trevor's comment. But if it's not something we can accomplish. I guess is
this is Ken on the phone. I talked to Brad a little bit about this one, and what it boils down to is within those 3 days, first day, all the units 3 and 4 would be available because 5 and 6 would be out for the maintenance. They're actually occurring out right now. But unit 1 would be out for the pipe install, transducer removal. Yeah. 2 would be out for the dive because they have to have the adjacent units out of service to remove the transducer from the trash rack. So only 3 and 4 would be available that day. So according to the fish passage plant priority, unit 3 would be first in priority. And Brad's research had shown that this unit 3 running without unit 1, there was still a good passage on the south fish ladder.
The only difference is that unit 3 is a fixed blade and unit 4 is adjustable. So you're going to have slightly more generation by using 3 as a first priority unit. But it does, it is...
First priority, though, because they just changed it for this, that MOC 009. So unit 3 got bumped down.
But it's a case of, do we want to use 3 as the priority on this one or not?
For Delta Traction, right?
Talking with the project folks, they're okay with just using unit 3 as a priority this time of year. Because only probably only be one unit running anyway.
Right, but it's going to be one unit running at 16 or one unit running at 8 or is it 14 11. Versus 8 or no? You go lower. Yeah, unit 4 can't go as low as unit 3, but unit 3 is fixed blade, and I think it's fixed at 14.5.
It's fixed right in the middle of the 1%.
Middle?
it's like 12 to 14.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So it's a little bit different than water.
So, Greg, you might check your email and see if you've got something from Trevor on that. I thought,
yeah. It may have been Ann's got the code.
I think it's going to strip my melon.
Yeah, then the second 2 days, unit two would be available because the dive would be done. And so most likely the project would not do the line switching to line three. So line two would be the one going. So we would have to operate unit two. It's only one unit operating.
That's okay.
So that would be the one operating during the third days.
That should be okay, Ken.
I have one more thing to add. All I just found out today, talking to my chief of operations, is that the project also is going to request Monday and Tuesday for unit one being out of service. So that'd be the August 10th and 11th, in addition to those other days, to take the clearance on the unit and also to get the unit prepped for the contractor bidder site visit for the turbine upgrade.
So which units will we have available that day?
Yes.
Those days.
You should have all units available that
well,
those days, right?
Well, only three and four.
Three and four, right?
All the units would be available except for five and six.
Yeah.
And of course one.
Should be fine.
So unit 3 would be
the priority during that
first day then? Because that
would be going there. Unit 3 will be. All right. Yeah, 10th and 11th of August. Well, it looks like this last little bit of information that Ken just put out was the 10th and 11th of August. Unit 3 will be the primary unit at that time. Yeah. Okay. We think it's okay?
I think it's okay. I've got to go through and read this, get this all straight in my head.
Okay, I have to review.
All right, so the fish barge schedule change.
Review and some comments. Tomorrow.
Is that okay?
Okay. I think you should review it.
No, I'm the fish barge one. I think I said okay on that one.
Okay.
We said okay.
We said okay.
Well, this schedule is a little bit, in the last few years, it's been either the 14th or the 16th, and that's simply because we start barging on the 2nd of May, and that's the way it falls out when you shift to every other day barging at the given time, and typically you have the 14th or the 16th, and the plan says 15th.
So does
John,
anyone not
one thing
agree?
That we mentioned, that we agreed and suggest you change the language in the plan.
To plus or minus one day kind of thing?
To plus or minus one day sort of thing that covers.
So we need a fish passage plan change form.
I would say so, yeah, just so you don't have to deal with it again and get it off the MLC list.
So the date, the one day difference is because of the day of the week?
Well, when we start barging, it's in May, daily barging.
That's fine.
And then when we switch, depending on what day we switched, it goes to every other day barging. Mm-hmm. So some years it will be right on the 15th, other years it will be the 14th and 16th.
It's simply a mathematical thing.
Yeah. Simply a...
This calendar
doesn't really matter.
Where the calendar falls.
So when you write it next year, can you put a range of when it will end?
So between the 14th and 16th?
Next year when you write it, you just say it'll end between the 14th and 16th, and we don't have to reaccount for the accounting.
I wonder if a contract will allow that.
For us.
For the fish passage plan.
For you bringing it to us is because it's off by a day.
Yeah. Okay, no problem.
So just give us a range.
You got that?
Yeah. I'll work
with
you to get that change
for you. You might be able to get that one covered.
That's going to
be a hard one.
So minus one.
Is that
plus or minus
plus
one?
Oh, man, that's a debate.
Plus one or minus
plus one? Plus or minus one. Is it a slash between them, or is it a plus or minus?
Oh,
that's a call. That's a fix this issue.
less than or equal to?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to
equal to or less than.
Change.
Change.
Yeah. Just change.
You killed me in the sunshade, so I don't want to
get someone good at this, too.
I know.
All right, so moving on to fish passage plan change forms.
Speaking of change forms.
Yes.
So there are three new ones for this round, and they're all essentially the same issue. The current spill patterns for the fish passage plan only go down to a certain level because we didn't foresee having to go this slow. In 2013, we did actually get to a point where we didn't have enough remaining spill to keep the RSWs open because it's the fixed spill between 6 and 8 KCFS. So we had to close them in August of 2013, and we sort of developed these patterns in season via TMT. Ryan Lowry went back and looked at them, came up with some patterns based on what he thinks would be the best egress conditions, and that's essentially what these are, just the first four or five stops. So I made a couple copies if people don't have them and want to look, but essentially it's just these low-flow spill patterns that we will likely see again this year. So when we have to close ours, it is.
Have these been sent electronically?
Yep, they're posted to the website. Those are all three. And I didn't hear Ryan on the phone, so if there are any questions in terms of like which bays these need to go through, then we can sort of hash that out. But
well, the problem is we've never done a hydraulic modeling. Yeah. I have no idea if this is going to be good, bad, or indifferent.
But essentially, I think that the flow shifts from...
Well, in that case, it must be the perfect thing, Scott.
Yeah, but is that... is that the best, or is that just dry labbing is not the best way to do
this? No,
that's true.
What?
I mean, like, I know Ryan's got a lot of experience, but
yeah, but I mean, like, low mo with basically all the flow going through base 7. Oh,
yeah.
It might be Cooper, it might be fine. I don't know.
So, do you want to review them and give comments by next week?
I'll review. I don't know how I'm going to be able to review. It's like,
I mean. Well, or do we approve it here?
Board, maybe?
You go out and look.
Yeah, or
throw oranges.
Or implement them. We can see what happens.
Do we have a model?
We intend to add this to the fish passage.
ICS. Well, if there is a model, yes.
Yeah, temporarily. Or somewhat to the fish passage.
It would be better if we could go work on the models at these locals, because we haven't. At least my work on them. We haven't looked at these low forms. Mm-hmm. And
we can see them in the real model for pretty soon.
Low mo. I don't know. Might be better to just spread out those three stops.
I don't know.
Then put them all in
one
set.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what you do in Mississippi.
So let's plan a trip in October.
We'll throw oranges and look at them in the real world.
And lower granite.
We can't do that.
I mean, we're going to have to deal with this.
We can't. In the real world? Oh, no.
Say, Lisa, I see that we're missing a little flow
in one week
for a goose.
Yeah. The spillway is closed, so it'll go down.
So we'll just keep on going down as it is.
It doesn't have that
many. Ice Harbor will.
You can't wait until October. You'll have it happen.
No.
I don't think it.
We don't have time to wait until October.
These are with RSW plates.
If you have comments on patterns that you prefer to see, email them to me and I'll work with Ryan Lowry and get those in. I think we do need to have something in the meantime because this is going to happen. Okay. So I think it's best if we have something. It doesn't have to go in. If you want to look at this and change it later on, you might just have a temporary thing, and then, yeah.
Right now there's no direction, so we need something in there.
Put a temporary
and can't wait till October.
I think you're going right at granite. I think that the spreading it out one stop per bay is the way to go. This low mo, I have to talk to Trevor and see that. Leaving several stops in bay 7, Gary, or spreading that out. I think I'd rather spread it out.
There aren't any patterns in the FPP for low-mo without the RSW. We have bulk and uniformance, and it's the only project that we don't have a no RSW pattern table. And I don't know if it's just because it just wasn't modeled without the spillway layer, or the other projects.
Well, it was modeled. We just
haven't gotten there yet.
So it might not be a bad idea to get a table, no RSW.
Okay.
That we don't have
point.
Ice Harbor has the same problem with root. Basically, you put it all through one bay. I don't know if that's the best strategy or not. Anyways.
Sometimes that can work, but
it doesn't.
A lot of times it doesn't. Just goes in circles.
And we really only have a short time to review this.
I know. Well, a short time review, but I don't know.
So we'll go with these and
see what happens.
Well,
I can do a model of my toilet bowl, I guess.
You won't know what happens.
We can do it, but I'd like to see a commitment for a trip in October to Mississippi.
So who do we bring that up for the funding?
Fitterwick.
Okay, so who's the Fitterwick chair for Derek? Nick. Derek?
Derek Fryer.
So Bill, you want to propose a Derek trip?
Yeah, get it. It's just finishing what should have been done earlier.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll use these in the meantime.
Okay.
Yeah. And then have a trip in October.
Well, the thing is, these in the meantime, have the project staff, if we actually did go to them, out there and take a look at it and see if it looks like poop.
Kind of change. I'd appreciate it if you could at least look at the flat pattern that you're describing on stop, across,
or basically
distributed. Well, you may not have that much water.
I understand.
One at a time.
I get it, but at the same time, it could be one or two days instead of just one bay.
Yeah, I think just which one.
And that's starting there with down.
But I haven't seen it.
It's something I'd like to see.
I think they also have a minimum 25% spill at John Day for egress conditions too. So I guess John Day might be something that we might have to look at. McNary's are out.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
All right. And talk about on spill change form. What else you got?
That's it. Just now we get to go to task group updates.
Sweet!
So we have a new task group, the Bond Minimum Spill, with Fredericks and Lawrence as co-chairs.
How did I get started?
Team members include Betton, I'll talk to Ebner, Hausman, Mackey, and Wright.
Is that a title?
That's a law firm.
Very skilled.
Yes. Load shaping guidelines, Betton, are you still looking into whether or not we can look at those?
It'll be a while from the list. But
all right.
My list has been getting bigger and bigger, not smaller.
Have you shot at
revising? It worked that way.
All right, then our active task groups are the Dalles Adult Flows.
Dalles Flip Flop?
Adult Flows. Condition monitoring. So Tom sent me a document that I will send out to all of you. It was FPC comments after our last task group meeting. So that will be in your inbox later today. And then adult counting, which we will be meeting in just a little bit.
Another question is on the condition monitoring one. Do we want to try to set up a meeting for that? Was my question. Unfortunately, nothing's going on, so I'm sure we have all plenty of time.
Condition monitoring.
Yeah, that's
something for sure.
Yeah, I want that idea. I just think, do we want to do it after next F-bomb? Do we need to do the next F-bomb? That's all I was trying to find out.
Do it after. Well, it's something that can wait until February for that matter, so. The Dalles, which one?
Adult.
That could be an issue that hits us in the face here.
Or not.
In September, so it'd be best to get that one at least hashed out to what we would do this year. So that's more important right now.
Okay.
In the condition monitoring, I've got comments from the Fish Pasture Center and from Ann Center. We can
chew on those a bit.
Ford Anzon says that, so I'm supposed to be the chair.
Did you happen to see Cordy's report this week?
You were the chair. You were Jim Trevor. I was told by chairs.
I never got Ann's comments.
Just shows you how important you are.
Yeah, anyway. I've always said that. Not really.
I'll tell her. You never got told her.
For a lot of the awesome. Well, did you see Cordy's report on passage in the north ladder at Dallas? 50%.
Right now?
Yeah. That it's higher than usual?
Oh, God, yeah.
At this flow, that's normal.
This is not, this flow on that much spill, it's so really
not. Normal.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've graphed that for years and years and years.
So this is the volume of spill that you have.
Well, this is the percentage of spill, the volume of spill.
But there is a thing, the reason I bring it up is there is a way to get a lot of fish over there. It is a substantial amount of spill.
Yeah.
And it's not. There is a way.
Yeah, there's a way.
We thought there was.
I can show you that.
Right. But it's
very
huge.
Apparent.
Yeah. Well, this is 50%. This is if you want to try to get 50%.
Yeah.
If you want to set a committee on that, I can supply with lots of data.
You can share it.
And Scott can share it.
I can get it to Fernie's chair.
We'll meet 2 years from now.
All right.
I won't be around, so I can't get a chair.
So, yeah, so we'll do that condition monitoring, maybe not next FOM,
September?
That will be so.
Where's it at? Is that a picnic? Is that a Bonneville?
Yeah, we can do our annual picnic at Bonneville.
There'll probably be a lot of dead floating fish we can use for barbecue.
That'd look good in our picnic, yeah.
Start saving all those fish.
Salmon gumbo.
They're just boiled. Mm-hmm. Just boiled fish.
Salmon gumbo.
Are we going to have a picnic this fall?
Yes, we should, because we do have some new members. Hey, Houseman, can you reserve the auditorium for us in September? Thank you. All right, and then our task group that really wants to be inactive but still has its action item. We're just waiting on that report from from John to be sent out. All right. Does anyone else have anything to add?
Wow, look at that.
Yes!
Hail the chief.
So how about we'll take a... You want to go get something to eat and come back first?
How long are you going to be?
How
excited are you going to be?
This is going to go, because really, there was a couple different discussion points on it. One of it's, what's the overall kind of goal of the FishCon program?
Just give me a number. We're talking half hour, 2 hours.
Your talks are 2 hours.
Yeah.
Let's make it fast.
Let's make it fast.
So I can get out of the dog.
Hopefully we can do this in less than an hour.
Okay. 1 hour? Can we just continue, or...?
Let's just beat through it.
Let's just beat through it. 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Let's do it.
Well, how about this? We get a 10-minute break, we get ice cream, and then we'll come back.